I'm so glad I'm not Jewish.
He's right, though. It is a distraction. And I think that video, when you say it's a weird video, to me, it's like, okay, he's waiting to see if people pop it, right? He's waiting to see if the reaction is, no, you've got to stick this out.
I don't know, man. I don't.
That is totally ridiculous. Oh, they would go into like an Iraqi home or something. And that seems like a Israeli disinfo campaign.
Hassan defending private military contractors of the United States of America in the Iraq war? Now I've seen everything.
I mean, I agree with Peacekill. Like, if this played out and the reaction was there was no serious push to have him exit the race, then if I was a main voter, I would probably vote for Blatter. But with every new scandal...
That's where I am.
Well, I love women, first of all. First of all, I'd like to say I love women, and also I would like to say L-rape in the chat. I would still vote for Blatter over fucking the Republican. I don't give a fuck. I would... If only he read YouTube chat, he would know. I read every fucking chat.
Really? Which one's your favorite chat?
My kick chat. Not K-I-C-K, but the K-I-K, the secret special. Yeah. Bruh, if this...
Are you going to yell at the judge right now?
No. The Platner thing. There's not a thing.
I mean, it'd be over,
there's
right?
not a thing, right? No way, right?
I mean, it seems like there is a thing. Why else would you cancel a bunch of events?
Maybe he's sick. Can a guy be sick, maybe?
Okay. Why not say that?
He just literally canceled them, okay?
All right, you're right.
Give him a fucking microsecond, okay, to get his shit together.
Platner, the oyster farmer?
Can you imagine if Platner gets fucking dumped on some stupid fucking scandalous shit, and then fucking El Sayed wins over, is it Stevens, and then loses to Collins or whatever, and then...
Well, that just means the Dems didn't support him hard enough.
Oh my god, bruh. Is that two Senate seats?
Yep, that would be two.
I've heard the allegations
as
well.
And that would be losing a Michigan Senate seat, too.
Wait, politics and... poll tracker. I've heard the allegation as well, and Platner would have to drop out if confirmed by a reputable news outlet. It's worse than the New York Times story from last month. The New York Times story was the biggest nothing burger in the universe, bro. Wait, hold on. I'm sworn to secrecy and I can't prove any of this, but if what I heard is real, it's a problem. I think he drops out if it's real because he's already facing significant financial problems. I doubt this is a smear. The GOP would want him to stay in. Wait. If he drops, it's over, right? Because the primary's over? Or can the other lady run like on... an open ticket, or...
Couldn't the other lady get it? No?
He has until the 13th. They can replace him still? Oh. Hold on. Stop Haley in my dream. Israel in my dream, Stevens. Jesus. Okay. Urgent. Please pay attention. I confirm from multiple sources within the NRSC. What does that stand for? Including a direct one that allows me to share. Thus made me that says that... Oh my... What the fuck is this sentence? I'm having a fucking stroke reading this. I confirm from multiple sources within the NRSC, the National Republican Senatorial Committee, including a direct one that allows me to share this, made me say that they think they have collected clear proof that your candidate, Graham Platner, committed sexual war crime in Iraq. What? Oh, no. Wait, the child thing. Oh, no. Wait. I was memeing when I said that. That Graham Platner committed sexual war crimes in Iraq and sent kick messages to minors and will drop them after the candidate replacement deadline. No. If he did this,
they would do it after the deadline? That's diabolical.
And we'll drop them after the candidate replacement deadline. If he did do this, please persuade him to use his leverage to make sure the replacement candidate is Troy Jackson and drop out. What? Where are you reading this? I don't know. Whatever. I don't know what the fuck this is. Prague Flip Memon. Is this an X account or a Facebook account?
Who would be going up to again?
I don't know. Hold on. Oh, we got a Hassan tweet. First guy to pivot to this LARP without a rape charge. Aw, Hassan's finding his footing to fight Asmongold a little bit more.
This is anti-BDS blackmail in action.
True. We're not getting the Senate, are we? Could you imagine if, just through some, between these Senate memes... sorry, hold on. I my chest just got heavy even thinking about this. Could you imagine if through some Senate memes, and if through some, all the gerrymandering bullshit, and a couple House memes, could you imagine if the midterms come and go, and we didn't win the House or the Senate? We didn't even win the House? What are we up? What are we expected right now to be at for the House? How many seats up?
I don't even know off the top of my head.
Like, imagine if somehow the Platner stuff and somehow the Sayed stuff hurts like Tallarico or something. Nah.
We need IRI. We need Hopium.
There's no way this is real. So basically, Mitch McConnell is a vegetable on life support in the hospital right now because his wife fled to China. There's no one with power of attorney to pull the plug or give up his seat, which is likely by design because if the seat were vacated before August 3rd, the election become a special election, which would allow Thomas Massie to run as an independent, potentially win, and the entire Republican Party is going along with the sick charade because they are wholly owned by a foreign country who views Thomas Massie as a serious threat to their power. Where is McConnell? When is the last time we saw...
How about where are our reporters? Why aren't they finding out where he is?
He's a Republican. Have some fucking respect, Mootin. Have some fucking respect. Have some fucking respect, Mootin. He could be dying, okay?
Who cares?
A lot of people are asking, why had McConnell's state? Not like a Dem would win the special election. If McConnell vacated before August 3rd, cut off, it'd be a special election, and anyone can register as an independent, including Massie, which was what the Republican vote giving him. Maybe it all. Another follow-up on this. This August 3rd date has to do with a candidate deadline for the general election or for special election. Two different statutes that have not been tested by the courts together. By the time the issue makes its way to the courts, a new Congress will already be in place. Oh, and we know that the courts will always side with the Republicans, so. Wait, it's real? She did? Well, he's married to a... Wait, what?
Problem?
Mitch McConnell's wife's bizarre move after CPR drama.
What, she can't go
reveal.
On a fucking vacation, man?
Elaine Chao. Well, I don't know if she's going to a vacation or if she's going home. Jesus. Mitch McConnell's wife reportedly traveled to China just 3 days after he received CPR following an apparent heart attack. Bruh. Do you think the Republicans saw the Dem move in Texas? And they were like, remember how the Dems all left the House in order to not have to vote on the redistricting on the gerrymandered maps? And they like looked at McConnell's wife and like, get the fuck out of the country. If you're out of the country, they can't find you. They can't force you. We have to send in Batman to extradite her. Remember when Batman is like... I got a friend with no jurisdiction.
We gotta find Batman.
We
man.
Need to do the air thing. We need to lift her out of China. We have to bring her here. We've been outmaneuvered again. True. So you guys just aren't thinking. Here. You guys aren't thinking creatively. No Democrat would have this idea. McConnell's dying in the hospital. Well, what? Are you gonna murder him? Well, no. But obviously his wife's gonna pull the plug. She's gone. She just took a first class ticket out of Beijing Air, bro. She's gone. She's out of the country.
What is even the excuse for this, man? Your husband's dying in the hospital.
What do you mean? Because like, oh, now yeah, they can't pull the plug. He's still the senator.
I mean, this makes me think that she's like a foreign fucking spy, if anything. She's like, I gotta get the fuck out of here. Oh my God.
God damn. Is it rule 5 if I say, is she 73 in this picture? She looks really good.
She looks nice. Can you just put a moratorium on rule 5?
Can somebody give me like the, I know a guy, I need to just quote tweet this with to bring the wife back. No, I don't need to do that. Couldn't she just say, don't pull the plug? Why would she need to flee to China? Ban him. Shut that guy the fuck up. My story is way funnier. Senator Mitch McConnell has been hospitalized for 3 weeks. This is the difference, okay? This is the difference between Republicans and Democrats. Be me, be a Democrat, be Ruth Bader Ginsburg, die immediately, okay? Meanwhile, McConnell, just put me downstairs next to Jordan Peterson. Keep the machines running for as long as possible.
You gotta tweet that out. That's a good one.
Jesus Christ.
That is a banger.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, Dems don't have the fucking guts to do what McConnell's doing, man.
Don't have anything, bro.
He's in fucking purgatory right now.
He literally at the Thanos thing or whatever after he fucking snaps his fingers. What did it cost? Everything.
Everything. Yeah, blood's in the gulag. He's fucking waiting for respawn.
Mitch McConnell voting on the reconciliation bill? Jesus Christ. God, bro. They outplayed us again, goddammit.
We need age limits so they can't do this shit.
Is this really how I killed this last time? There's no way that didn't even hit.
They're just gonna have a permanent seat.
He's like 130 years old. Has anybody checked on that guy?
Yeah, he voted.
Searching us out on Reddit appears to have the Asmule Destiny, H3H3, and LSF subreddits removed in one of the autofill top search results. One thing that I kind of don't like about the current memes, lawsuit included and outside, is the deck is like really stacked against us. Holy shit, bro. Like, we're not getting boosted by any fucking foreign bots. I'm not getting my Merkel or Macron or my Soros check anywhere.
Have we thought about trying to make peace with Ethan?
I mean, like, that would be like the best thing, but it's just like, I don't know what's going on over there. And also, like, especially because his fan base is like a lot of women, that fan base is really poisoned against me now, because to them, I like, to the ones who are not smashing, I look like a creeper rapist, basically. Yeah,
sure. But I feel like if you own your fan base, you can kind of probably dissuade those because you're not a creeper rapist.
Maybe. And you can dissuade them. Not maybe I'm a creeper rapist.
Yeah.
It's hard though. Once you've like like put a huge stake in the ground on it, you know? Wait, I've gotten that material before, right? That's not anything. Okay. I do think that, like, I hope we can, like, undo the power scaling or whatever in online politics, and I guess in real politics now, because now we might see it with Plattner. Everything now is, like, genocide and child rape. Like, every person is, like, rapist, pedophile. It's, like, the maximum amount of... It would also help, too, to not be banned on Twitch, because I could also... I hate how, like,
that would help a lot.
Exclusive that platform is. Like, the viewers on that platform really don't travel very far. That's why Hassan doesn't have much pull elsewhere, but then it also keeps them, like, very locked into that ecosystem. Every viewer on Twitch uses YouTube regularly, no? Like, to watch YouTube videos, yes, but not to, not live streams, though. I think live streamers, live stream viewers on Twitch very much, like, only stay on Twitch, I think. I think most live stream viewers stay on most platforms, though.
Kick has probably been the biggest... fighter against that because of how they were doing, I feel like, their early on contracts of like, all right, you stream on Twitch for X amount of time and then you announce to everybody like, hey, I'm going over to Kick, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, yeah, maybe. Mitch McConnell remaining technically alive for an extra 3 weeks because of a manipulative procedural maneuver is exactly how he would have wanted to go out.
You see Mike from PA making fun of Hutch for his look?
Oh, Mike will go in on anything. Mike is one of... Bro, some of these people are like... Like, I can't imagine them existing off camera. Like, I'm just so curious what their lives are like off camera. Like, what do you do? Who are you? What are you?
I don't have you ever met Mike in person?
Yeah, remember?
Was he ever normal?
Well, I don't know why we were on bad terms, but we saw him at a restaurant.
Bad
you can
bunny.
Ask Tabor about this. Well, yeah, but this was before he tried to get with her. And he, like... I feel like we met outside a restaurant and then he like ran away. It was so weird because
he had threatened to like beat you up. I thought
no, not at that point.
This
no
was
way.
After.
Yeah, that was this is way long ago. I don't think we'd made any threats like that. But I just remember him like scampering off, and I don't remember why. I remember was I with Dan then or was it just Tabor? Was Dan there too? I think I it was know. Tabor was next to me, and we looked at each other and like laughed because like when we looked to see where Mike had went, we like just saw him like literally just turning the corner. It was like a Looney Tunes thing. Like he like down the street, he ran away, even though we were like all getting food here. I had no idea. I don't know, bro.
I don't know. I don't know what's going on. Again, ironically enough, there are a lot of liberals. Ironically enough, there are a lot of liberals on the timeline who yesterday were saying, Abdul Al Sayed is bad because he hangs out with Hassan. Graham Plattner is good because he doesn't hang out with Hassan. And there's truth to that. I have no connection to the Plattner campaign. I have no idea.
Oh, shit. Plattner's gone. Uh-oh. Plattner's gone. Oh, shit. Plattner's mega gone. Plattner is ultra gone. Oh, no.
Yeah, what they're up to. I have no understanding of what has taken place thus far. So the liberals might have actually unironically locked themselves into a weird bind.
These fucking cucks. I'm sorry. Hold on. I'm trying to think. It's one thing people don't do is they don't look for disconfirming evidence. So you always try to find disconfirming evidence. I have my whole fucking mind prison for my media funnel bullshit. I'm like, okay, hold on. Well, the way that I see the media is the MAGA people know how to do media and the tanky people know how to do media. So they can always spin any story. It doesn't really fucking matter. You know, it seems like they're untouchable, right? But now, Plattner, seems like there's a story that's coming up that's going to wreck him. But then how do I make that work with my media thing understanding, you know? I think the easiest way to look at it is maybe, obviously, well, obviously, there are going to be some stories that are just so big you just can't get away from, obviously, right? Child rape in Iraq might be one of those. However, another thing, and I hope to fucking God that this isn't the pattern that's going to play out. Another thing is, when they have to bump into a media empire that can play the same games they do, they tuck tail and run immediately, right? Because Plattner is not fighting against the libs anymore. Now he has to fight against the conservatives who know how to pull out all the stops and do fucking everything. And he's like, oh, fuck that. Whoa. We can fight against the blues. We can primary Dems. But whoa, we won the primary? I'm fucking out of here, chief. See ya. Later, bitch. See ya. I'm out of here.
But we don't know. We don't have any information. What I do know is what I've seen thus far, and what I've seen thus far has been, great exaggerations. This might be real, though, right? This might be totally real. This might be totally valid. But in this circumstance, in the Graham Plattner situation, yeah, this was the ridiculous one. This was the ridiculous one. This is, yeah. Dude, this is... That is totally ridiculous. Oh, they would go into like an Iraqi home or something, and that seems like a Israeli disinfo campaign.
Hassan defending private military contractors of the United States of America in the Iraq war? And now I've seen everything. That's how you know the Israel hate runs deep. The Jew hate runs deep. Holy shit. Oh my God.
That isn't, that doesn't have any legs whatsoever. You know what I mean? But if there's a more serious accusation, we'll look at it. If he does drop out, could another Democrat run? I think it's literally the reason why they're doing it. The reason why this push is coming right now, the timing of it, whether it's real, whether it's, because I don't know anything yet. Yeah, for context, that guy's previous claim to fame is pushing that Biden admin was trafficking kids from Ukraine. I know. That guy's insane. I'm not saying that allegation is insane. That one is bullshit. Politico's dropped something. We'll take
Politico. Plattner accused of sexual assault denies allegations. A woman, a 41-year-old Maine resident named Jenny Rakicott, detailed the alleged incident to Politico in three interviews over the past 2 weeks. Politico also spoke with a man, Rakicott, am I pronouncing this correctly? Dated and confided in the years after the alleged incident and reviewed documents, including emails between Rakicott and her therapist, and messages between Rakicott, it's Kakarot, shut the fuck up, and an acquaintance whom she warned against getting involved with Plattner years before he ran for office. Woman who dated Graham Plattner says he sexually assaulted her. The Maine Democrat denies the allegation, says any accusation of sexual behavior is categorically untrue. Well, that's a lot less bad than the Iraqi child rape memes. Well, I shouldn't say memes, but isn't this, certainly this isn't the story that the New York Times didn't run with, right? Do you remember when people, wasn't somebody tweeting out like, oh, well, there was a sexual assault story, but the New York Times just chose not to run with it because or something? Woman who dated Graham Plattner says he sexually assaulted her. How long ago, too? Says he forced her to have sex with him nearly 5 years ago despite her repeated objections. On and off relationship with Plattner, who is now the Democratic Senate nominee in Maine, for more than 2 years before he entered her rural Maine home uninvited one night in late 2021, deeply intoxicated and forced to on her while she repeatedly told him to stop. Rakicott previously described reckless and unsettling behavior by Plattner to the New York Times, but says she didn't go public with the specific assault claim because she didn't want to be known as a rape victim. Said she later felt compelled to go public about her experience because the reaction to the Times story was dominated by controversy about another woman, Lindsay Fifield, who alleged Plattner mistreated her and faced attacks because of her ties to the Republican Party. My part of the story was just a read over. She said she was torn over coming forward in part because she agrees with Plattner politically. Why the fuck wouldn't you come out before the primary?
Wanted to direct.
Oh, we got the 3D, 5D audio vision. Okay. Plattner and Oysterman. That night in late 2021, she said she had exchanged text messages with him and told him not to come over, saying she wasn't in the mood for company. Later that evening, she said she realized when she heard a sound on the stairs that he had let himself into her house, which was unlocked. Holy shit. Plattner came up the stairs, Rakicott said, where she was on a couch. He got on top of her and kept grabbing her. She said, well, she repeatedly told him to stop and that she wasn't interested. She smelled alcohol on his breath and believed he was almost blackout drunk because Plattner ignored her protest and continued to grab her. How can you be blackout drunk and make, that's a lot of progress. To get to the house, open the door, go upstairs. So she tried to separate herself from Plattner by telling him she couldn't be in the room anymore, after which he followed her to her bedroom and then raped her. She said he also ejaculated inside of her despite her telling him not to. She wasn't using birth control at the time. She went to clean herself up. When she returned, Plattner had fallen asleep. Plattner said he didn't remember what happened the night before. She said she told him to leave and never contact her again. She said she sent him an IG message, but she can't recover it because she deleted it all after and moved on. She also shared details about the alleged assault to the man she dated after Plattner, who she began dating in 2022. The man, who was granted anonymity out of concern for his personal privacy, told Politico that Rakicott had told him in bits and pieces about a bad experience with Plattner before confiding the full details of what had happened in 2023. His account of what Rakicott told him about the incident matched what they told Politico. Shared with Politico a series of private Facebook messages she exchanged with an acquaintance in 2023, about a year and a half after the alleged assault, and well before Plattner launched his political career, in which she cautioned the acquaintance about getting involved with Plattner. In the messages, she said that she had ended up in a bad situation with him, describing him as consensually careless and saying he doesn't listen to you when drunk. What's his deal? Should I not fix up my friend, assuming he's single? He'd be charming and funny. He's a decently intelligent person. He's not all bad, but I ended up in a bad situation with him, and I will just politely call him consensually careless at times. When drunk, plus PTSD. Ah, I knew about the PTSD. He lies also. Based. Okay. Spoke with a friend that they had told about the alleged assault last summer, shortly after Plattner launched his campaign.
I wanted to directly address the troubling, serious, and false allegations against me. Any accusation of non-consensual behavior is categorically false. Dang. Over the last 10 months, I've been deeply humbled by the faith Mainers have put in me. You have welcomed me into your homes, into your places of work, into your restaurants, into your houses of worship. You have shown that a different kind of politics, one that puts the interests of people over corporations, is not just possible, but is inevitable.
Wow.
This movement we have built, the largest volunteer base in the history of Maine politics, the hundreds of thousands of grassroots donors, and the supporters across the ideological spectrum, we were united in a love of Maine, a belief that our politics must change, and a focus on defeating Susan Collins. So, regardless of the inaccuracy of the reporting, but mindful of the political reality it will inflict, we are taking the time to reflect on the best path forward for the state that I love, the people that I love.
What? Wait, hold on, what?
So, our politics must change in a focus on defeating Susan Collins. So, regardless of the inaccuracy of the reporting, but mindful of the political reality it will inflict, we are taking the time to reflect on the best path forward for the state that I love, the people that I love, the movement I belong to, and the goal of defeating Susan Collins. Those were the goals when we launched this campaign, and they remain my goals today. On June 9th, 154,058 Mainers, the most in primary history, voted to reject.
I feel like he's stepping down. I feel like he's going to be gone tomorrow. What is the day today? Monday?
A broken politics beholden to Washington and the donor class. They voted for hope, for change, to take back our economy, to take back our power, and to take back our Senate seat. Throughout it all, you never turned your back on me, and I will not turn my back on you now. Every one of you deserves to see that vision come to fruition and see Susan Collins defeated, and we will use every tool at our disposal to do so. As Maine goes, so goes the nation. As always, thank you.
Reports are coming in that there is absolutely no evidence for this, but it was Connor who sent this story to Politico, apparently because Connor thinks Plattner is too reckless. It was a griper's wife. I feel like he's dropped out. I feel like he's already gone, and they're just figuring out how to do it. I think he's gone. Why would you stumble here if there was even a chance that you would stay in? Putting out that message of, even though this is false, we are considering all of our options or whatever. Like, what do you mean all of your options? You're thinking about dropping out. Why would you even say that?
Uh-oh.
Get your Polymarket bets in. Did you guys know that on Polymarket you can buy contracts? I'm not guaranteeing you that this will win, and you shouldn't try to buy this, though, to save your whole life or your fortune or whatever else, but that's a good-looking contract. I'm just kidding. I think he's staying in, but he's afraid that something worse will even drop. Well, is this going to be one of those things where we like look back on it and we're like, wait, who could have ever known? The guy who lied about the Nazi tattoo for 16 years was of questionable moral character.
Edit. But the timing of American imperialism,
incomprehensible.
Great head he did. Brother, FIFA to request.
They think 50.
That's not even react to it. What was that guy? That chatter lied.
You do not represent Paraguay. That country. Perception of reality feels bright. It's just something that I thought of.
Okay, it's over. He's dropping out. That, I mean, I don't know why you would ever say that. Plattner planning to drop out of Maine Senate race. Well, what the fuck? This was an hour old, brah.
Baller and Venezuelan. The wife of Venezuelan footballer Andrea Bella was found in the rubble, and she was shielding her one-year-old baby from the earthquake. The baby was found alive in her arms, correct?
That's the epitome of motherhood. She's a hero. And moms, of course, they want
to... Oh, sorry. This is a video that has fucking nothing to do with the article. My bad. I don't know why I thought it was. My bad. Oh, yeah, Tim Miller. I'm sorry, but we are taking time to reflect on the best path forward. It's not an option on the table. Either it's false and you campaign with vigor, or it's true and you get out, / apologies when you let down. Yeah, I mean, like, that's... Yeah. I don't think that statement is...
We are taking the time to reflect on the best path forward for the state that I love, the people reporting, but mindful of the political reality it will inflict.
I mean, he's gonzo.
Had a checkered past, right? A lot of red flags in his background.
Uh-oh. Oh, and, yeah? Really? Really?
And he was doing phenomenally well against Janet Mills, the current governor of Maine. He defeated Janet Mills thoroughly, handily. Janet Mills dropped out, as a matter of fact. When the primaries took place, and here's the thing: a lot of establishment Democrats hate this guy, right? A lot of people in the pro-Israel side hate this guy.
And does he talk about Israel that much? Maybe he does.
He had been the recipient of a lot of attacks. Many of these attacks were somewhat silly. Some of them were unsubstantiated. And the criticisms that he should have received were obviously criticisms about his background, you know, his investment into, his numerous tours and then going back into Blackwater, you know, things like that. Those were red flags for me.
Oh, you think?
Tattoo was a red flag for me. Those weren't red flags for the average American and certainly not the average Mainer. But then the New York Times came out with this reporting, right? The New York Times came out with this report and they had said, this is an unbelievable allegation that's about to come out. You know, they highlighted the report as though there was a serious sexual assault allegation. And when the New York Times report came out, it turns out that was not the case, right? They looked at his background. They interviewed seven of Grant Plattner's former partners. Most of them actually had nothing but nice, kind words to say about him. And two, one of the two said that there was one moment that she did not feel great about. And then the other was a Republican operative that said Grant Plattner had done the classic, like, male manipulator, domestic abuser moment, the wrist control, right? This article seemingly is bad. This article seemingly is different.
Is he sweeping?
No, Plattner's gone. 100% he's gone.
There's a political article out now. I don't know how the New York Times missed this. I don't know how the New York Times did not
read the articles. They already tell you how. But okay.
He doesn't read articles, retard.
True. My bad.
By no means am I defending Plattner, but American voters' cognitive dissonance about voting for rapists is frustrating, a.k.a. Trump's fine, but for Mainers, but Plattner is not. It should always be a disqualifier across the board. Yes.
What?
What? Now Plattner can't rape?
Political piece, I assume we'll get into it, but we'll look at it now, right? Plattner also immediately, because of the severity of the allegations, it seems that they were ready for the Plattner camp actually canceled a bunch of events. I think they said the wife was sick or something. I don't know. So
what's the poly market at now?
Let's take a look at the
probably 80%+
latest Grant Plattner. New York Times knew this, but the conversation was off the record. Okay. Woman who dated Grant Plattner says he sexually assaulted her. The main Democrat denied the allegations and said any accusation of non-consensual behavior is categorically untrue. A woman who dated Maine U.S. Senate candidate Grant Plattner says he forced her to have sex with him nearly 5 years ago despite her repeated objections, an allegation Plattner denies. The woman, a 41-year-old Maine resident named Jenny Rassicott, detailed the allegation, the alleged incident to Politico in three interviews over the past 2 weeks. Politico also spoke with a man Rascott dated and confided in the years after the alleged incident and reviewed documents, including emails between Rascott and her therapist and messages between Rascott and acquaintance. That is curtains. Okay. Mossad paid her as? No. That is the
trifecta. That's
always
trifecta. About Jews, by the way.
Okay. That is the trifecta of a reliable allegation. That's holy shit. Okay. Personal firsthand testimony to a friend, a close confidant, back from way before Grant Plattner ever fucking ran for Congress. Are you kidding me? And then also direct testimony from a therapist.
Okay.
Very different from a Republican operative coming out and being like, oh yeah, I had a touch and go moment with Graham Plattner. I wouldn't even say he like physically abused me or anything. That's very different. There is not direct testimony from a therapist. No, sorry. Emails between Racicot and her therapist. Okay. Emails that are dated. That seems a little bit different than previous statements and previous things that were talked, previous discussions around Graham Plattner's misconduct or alleged misconduct. Okay. What I don't understand is why the New York Times didn't report it, but apparently the political article gets into that. So we'll take a look at it. So, reviewed documents, including emails between Racicot and her therapist and messages between Racicot and an acquaintance whom she warned against getting involved with Plattner years before he ran for office. Racicot says she had an on and off relationship with Plattner, who is now the Democratic Senate nominee in Maine, for more than 2 years before he entered her rural Maine home uninvited one night. Oh, in late 2021, deeply intoxicated and forced himself on her while she repeatedly told him to stop. She said she cut off contact with him. So this is one of the two. This is Racicot is the other. New York Times, if you recall, interviewed 7 former girlfriends of Graham Plattner. There was one that said she had a bad moment with Graham Plattner. This, I think, expands on what that bad moment was with a very significant allegation. Trigger warning.
Trigger warning.
I will be reading out.
Doing trigger warning. Oh, he's on full progressive. Oh, he's on full progressive mode now. Okay.
She said she cut off contact with him after telling him the encounter was not consensual. I remember him grabbing my pelvis and being really forceful of me, she said. I remember the specific moment where I thought to myself, like, this is no longer my choice. Plattner denied the allegations. These allegations are troubling, serious, and false. Any accusation of non-consensual behavior is categorically untrue, he said in a statement. Racicot previously described reckless and unsettling behavior by Plattner to the New York Times, but she says she didn't go public with the specific assault claim because she didn't want to be known as a rape victim. Racicot said she later felt compelled to go public about her experience because the reaction to the Times story was dominated by controversy about another woman, Lindsay Feefield, who alleged Plattner mistreated her and faced attacks because of her ties to the Republican Party. Contacted by Politico, Feefield stood by the allegations she made to the Times and declined to comment further. My part of the story was just a readover, Racicot said in an interview, and the story was just Lindsay and the accusations of her being politically motivated. Racicot said she was torn over coming forward in part because she agrees with Plattner politically. One of the reasons I didn't come forward sooner was the huge moral conflict that I had between supporting his politics.
This is why I told you never to endorse him and let things play out. He was an enigma.
I just want the truth out there. I just want people to have the whole scope of who he is as a person. In a statement, the Plattner campaign reiterated his denial and accused his critics of trying to drive him out of the race. These allegations are very serious, and Graham vigorously denies them. They are also coached and coordinated by out-of-state establishment operatives. For a year, opponents of this campaign have thrown everything they can at Graham, calling him a Nazi, a war criminal, and a communist.
Why is chat just automatically believing this?
None of it has been true, and this is no different. It is not a coincidence that this story comes a week before the ballot deadline, just as the previous false allegations came a week before the primary. Graham began this campaign to fight for a Maine where everyone is treated with dignity and where Mainers are put first, and no amount of desperate smears will stop this movement from seeing that vision through. What do you mean audio? What's wrong with the audio?
Shut the fuck. He's skinwalking me. He's skinwalking me right now.
An oysterman and political newcomer, when he launched his Senate campaign last August, easily won the Democratic primary last month to face GOP Senator Susan Collins in one of the nation's most highly watched Senate races. His remarkable rise has been tainted by controversies, including offensive online comments and allegations of past mistreatment of women. He has not previously been accused of sexual assault. So here's the thing. Okay? Here's the thing.
Here's the thing, guys.
This is a serious accusation of the highest order, and it has all of the hallmarks of a verifiable accusation, okay? Conversations with conversations in the past, far before Graham Plattner came on the scene as a political operative, is a fairly reliable way to verify these accusations. I'm sorry, it's just the truth. Okay?
I think he's gonzo, guys.
Like, as you guys know, my policy on this is, you know, believe women doesn't mean reflexively assume that all women are incapable of telling a lie or anything. It just means, like, don't reflexively disbelieve women.
Oh,
right?
Believe all women just means don't disbelieve all women. Oh, okay.
Abernathy. Do you all know who that is? For those that don't know, he was Dr. King's right-hand man.
Wait, people are saying Ryan Grimm is tweeting some crazy shit right now? Wait. Give me some vote blue, no matter who tweets. I need one from Kyle Kalinske about Blattner.
Because I would vote for Blattner right now. But would Kyle? Athlete Star Guy doesn't do it to children.
True.
Thank God it was an Iraqi child.
Okay, I need one more lefty person tweeting. I need four.
Should be a campaign manager? Yeah, I'd go on. I'd be like, well,
what do I
could
have?
Be worse.
Got Kyle Kalinske, Emma Vigeland, and a Pisco one. I don't need more Kyle ones. I need one more lefty.
Is Pisco a lefty?
No, but he virtue signals over that vote blue no matter who thing.
So we're just going to bully him, huh? Based.
It can't be a random vote blue no matter who thing. It needs to be responsive to like a Blattner tweet or a Blattner story or something, guys.
Hassan? I think he
did. If he has one, but it's got to be responsive to Blattner, just a random vote blue no matter who thing. We're just going to be fucking falling with the Balrog.
Yeah, the Balrog.
Yeah, on our way down. Like, but it's not going to be like Gandalf fighting the Balrog. The Balrog is going to be Trump, and then it's just going to be two Gandalfs beating each other over the head with their own staves, screaming, vote blue no matter who. As we all make our way to hell.
Gandalf's, or sorry, the Balrog's still on the fucking bridge.
Maybe, yeah, actually, that's the real name. Whoa, what? Hassan goes on a completely unprompted schizo rant about DGG.
No way.
You're taking the time to reflect on the best path forward for the state that I love, the people.
Come on, bro.
I love when, you know what's funny? I love when people go, hey, this ginormous incident with significant accusations of sexual assault took place that's shaking up national...
Is he about... I already know what he's doing. He's like, I like how when there's like a serious thing that comes out about my candidate, the only fucking thing that the fucking other guys, the fucking libs can do is... They're fucking happy. They're happy there's a fucking rape. They're happy that a woman suffered. I can't fucking believe you guys would celebrate this fucking moment. I'm just kidding. Maybe he won't do that at all. Sorry. And I just humiliated myself if I did that.
News. How can I make this about... my least favorite Twitch streamer.
Oh, never mind. There it is.
You mad.
Are you okay? How are you any different than the fucking weirdo Epstein-y fans who literally saw October...
What? You have to admit, all right? He is hella pressed, okay? You've been talking about the Epstein-y ring a lot, all right? We're having membership problems. People aren't even signing up to the Epstein-y Island flights, okay? We've had to cancel some of them. Because of how much pressure he's putting on us.
For seven.
No.
And then watched as Israel started bombing Gaza, immediately killing more people than October 7, and went to work to be like, this is our opportunity to make sure that we compile every single thing that Hassan says. So
he's so mad about my tweet. Oh, I'm saving.
Scared.
From now on, every time I got a little folder on my desktop so I know exactly which clips I... So anytime I see one of his little sycophantic fuck pieces of shit tweeting some crazy weirdo shit about me, I got fucking videos just ready to go. Oh, what? I did this? Oh, what about this and this and this and this and this? Woo-hoo-hoo!
We can make this a national story later down the line. If you see, you know, incidents taking place of national consequence and your first thought is, how do I make this about a fucking Twitch streamer? You're not going to make it. Shut the fuck up.
We're living rent-free right now.
Oh, yeah. On a platform I'm banned from, so we're still getting access. Hell yeah. Yeah, boy.
You need help.
You okay?
I'm good.
I don't know how I feel about that laugh.
The movement
scheming.
I belong to and the goal of defeating Susan Collins. Those were the goals when we launched this campaign, and they remain my goals today. On June 9th, 154,058 Mainers, the most in primary history, voted to reject a broken politics beholden to Washington and the donor class. They voted for hope, for change, to take back our economy, to take back our power.
We're not making it about our least favorite Twitch streamer. We're asking for some accountability since you absolutely give positive coverage to this guy after knowing what he did in the Middle East.
Oh! Excuse me, did you not get the memo, bro? Did you not get the memo, Chatter? We support anybody that we view as being aligned against the Dems. I don't give a fuck about killing some Middle Easterners. Why the fuck would a man who supports Hezbollah and the Houthis, why would he give a fuck about some dead Arabs? The man is Turkish, okay? Nobody loves dead Arabs more than Turks. Are you crazy, motherfucker? This guy doesn't care. Come on.
You're supposed to be on our side, but you run cover for people you know are war criminals, even though sexual assault is where you draw the line?
Chatter just doesn't get it, guys. He doesn't get it, man. I just want to give you guys health care. Take my health care.
I'm gonna move on from this.
Hassan is literally the guy at the end of he's got the cure for all of the working class idiots in his chat, and they're too stupid to understand. And now he just has to, we're just waiting for the end. I can help you guys, but
please, please shut the fuck up. Please.
Please.
And to take back our Senate seat. Throughout it all, you never turned your back on me. And I will not turn my back on you now. Every one of you deserves to see that vision come to fruition and see Susan Collins defeated.
It's a U.S. guy. Trump undid his red card.
Fuck, where's
Did
the
you
meme?
Tweet?
Yeah, where's the meme of the guy holding up the card and it's got Trump's face on it? Oh, never mind, found it.
Oh, didn't I send it to you?
Too late. You probably did.
I only send good memes. Don't forget. Oh, you got him. You tweeted at him.
And we will use.
Guys, are we mobilized? Are we retweeting? Help him.
Wait, who are we tweeting at?
You. Boost.
Wait, for the one I just tweeted? Oh, that's fine. The one before was a better meme.
To do so. As Maine goes, so goes the nation.
Laura Loomer's on this underage girls on Kick thing. She keeps tweeting this out. She's been tweeting at it for 3 days. Uh-oh.
Underage girls on Kick?
Kick, K-I-K.
Okay.
Genuinely, he's saying that Plattner's entire defense of this is just nuh-uh. He's saying that there were a coordinated smear campaign and coaching, but if that was the case, he put that shit on the limelight yesterday instead of nothing. Yeah. Does your community seriously believe that being in the military means automatically you're a war criminal? No. But there are some.
Really?
In my community,
really
that does. Definitely.
Now.
There are definitely people on the left who automatically go, oh, you touched a machine gun, you were in the American military.
What was the, what did Hassan say again, Mouton? Can you remind me? What did he say about Kamala Harris recently? What did he say about her?
Oh, she'd be the one-to-one, the same as Donald Trump?
No.
Or that she belonged in The Hague?
Yeah, that she should turn herself into The Hague for being the vice president, by the way. Vice president.
The American military is an imperialist force. You have done war crimes. It's understandable why people arrive at that conclusion, for the record, because many who do active duty combat, who see active duty combat, engage in things like that.
Oh, things like that. Many of them do. Hmm.
Do you think
my
you
scrutiny
name
of this of Graham Plattner's background came from his Four Tours plus Blackwater? But
no.
It wasn't enough for me to say, like,
not.
You know,
this is the funniest sentence in the universe. Okay, Blackwater, sure. But, okay, Blackwater, maybe. Well, a little bit of a red flag. Bro, for any other person, oh my God.
Of Graham Plattner's background came from his Four Tours plus Blackwater, but it wasn't enough for me to say, like, you know, this is...
Oh my God.
I'm pulling out of this.
He would be making so many jokes. Like, killing Middle Arabs wasn't enough 3 times. You had to go back a 4th time. And you were so hungry for blood, you had to go private contractor afterwards. Like, he would be saying so much if this guy wasn't on his team. It's actually crazy, bro.
We gotta take notes.
Give me the video 10-minute ads. If he really was this guy attacking Pete Buttigieg for his military service? Like, Jesus Christ, bro.
Was it?
You know, I wanted to
just Pete being gay
and made the effort to try to interview him specifically on that and never got the opportunity to do so.
Do you want to interview him now, buddy? But he's available.
For the record.
Do you think watching Hassan go super soft here is making any of his casual audience falter? Oh, yeah, a little bit. Yeah, of course. That's why there are people that are kind of fighting. And he didn't ban that one guy because he knows his chat's going to have a hard time with this. Because there is, like, remember, the way that he brings in his ideology is, like, subversively. So he tries to sneak it in on the back of, like, progressive shit. But at times when there's a confliction between his, like, Marxist-Leninist or Stalinist beliefs and then the progressive ones, he goes with the ML beliefs. But that's, like, pretty hard for most of his audience. My guess is, like, 80 to 90% of his audience are solidly just progressives, super progressives, like, bordering, like, socialist curious, but not full on the Marxist-Leninist authoritarian commie shit. So whenever he goes like into these takes, it becomes very, very hard, I imagine, for a lot of his audience to come along. Yeah.
I'm getting fucking dominated in the bot lane right now.
Cool.
Or very dodgy about, they were initially interested, but then when I offered my scrutiny very publicly, the campaign was somewhat dodgy about it.
Wait, what? Hold on. Sorry, what did he say?
They were initially interested, but then when I offered my scrutiny, very plus Blackwater, but it wasn't enough for me to say, like, you know, this is, I'm, you know, I'm pulling out of this. You know, I wanted to and made the effort to try to interview him specifically on that and never got the opportunity to do so.
Is there any video footage at all of Hassan being like super critical of Platner's military history? I'm very curious about that, but
it doesn't exist.
For the record,
Pete Buttigieg saw a decade of senseless war and decided to still go to Afghanistan, not because he had no other option, but for his resume. That alone is almost as disqualifying as Biden's Iraq vote. My God, bro. Fucking loser.
They were very dodgy about, they were initially interested, but then when I offered my scrutiny.
Like, here's the big issue now, right? How much did Platner win the primary by? She dropped? Oh, so the polling was like brutal then. So like, now what?
I don't know. They might actually need to just put a new candidate in there.
Well, but so now that's the thing, is because there's this Troy guy that I'm guessing like the lefties like or whatever. Yeah. But how are they not going to get like smashed over the head with you know what, right? Do you know what? What do you?
The Kamala shit.
Yeah, exactly. Wait,
there was now blah blah blah.
Yeah, we didn't have a primary. Wait, what? You guys chose somebody without exactly. Yeah, what the fuck? How are they gonna? Yeah,
I mean, what do you want me to say?
Do I have anything that works in the air on this fucking
stupid? Anything else?
Oh. Also, okay.
Very publicly, the campaign was somewhat dodgy.
Sorry,
about
I don't want
it.
Anybody to forget. Has he criticized Platner at all? Any lingers?
I don't know.
And I never got to. I never got to actually ask him personally about some of these questions that I had.
I can't believe they dodged Hassan because they knew that he was.
But if you recall, one of the things that I had said on a Pod Save America podcast.
Oh yeah, tell us.
Was a comparison between Abdul El-Sayed and Graham Platner.
Oh my God! Yeah, what did you say?
Like all of these Fox News guys are like, I can't believe this is what Graham Platner was doing. How dare he do such horrible things? It's like, dog, Pete Hegseth, the current Secretary of War, was your coworker. Okay? Pete Hegseth was literally your coworker and was a notorious drunk rapist. Like, if you want to talk about Nazi tattoos, Graham Platner's Totemkopf didn't get dinged by the military. Which again is more of a diss on the military.
Wait, is that true? I thought that was why he, one of the reasons why he couldn't go back was because it did get dinged and then he had to.
He said it hasn't been dinged, so I'm not sure.
I thought it getting hit in the military and he could have gotten it removed, but he chose not to, was part of the story. But I could be wrong. I don't know.
There's not enough time.
Uh-oh.
Oh, whatever. I gotta start. Some states require a special election to fill a vacancy, a few states. Okay, so they're just going to do an appointment? Special Senate elections in Kentucky. Mitch McConnell health questions raise Kentucky Senate succession issues. The episode has drawn attention to a major change Kentucky lawmakers made in 2024 to the state Senate vacancy laws. The legislation eliminated the governor's ability to appoint a replacement senator and instead directed vacancies be filled. Oh, there's a new special election. Okay. It went the opposite direction. I figured given how undemocratic Republicans are, they would have flipped it and it would be an appointment rather than a special election. But there is a special election process, which is why they're hiding his death, because they don't want Massey to run. Gotcha. It's because the governor is a Democrat. Yeah. They probably changed it because they were worried about Beshear putting a Democratic senator in if McConnell died. They probably changed the law specifically so that he couldn't do that.
How's Vosh taking it?
Wouldn't it be like illegal to cover up the death? I don't really know what the laws are about the legality of covering up a person's death from a hospital. It's not really relevant. It's not like the law exists anymore. How long do they have to cover it up until Massey can't run? That is a good question. Kentucky filing deadline, Senate midterms. August 3rd, August 6th. I'm hearing a wide spread of early Augusts from chat. Let's take a look specifically. Candidate filing deadlines opens November 5th. Closes January 9th, 2026. Do they not have a closing deadline? Or is it for the primary? Would he be running as a Republican? Wait, hold on. Kentucky Republican Senate primary filing deadline. The primary election took place on May 19th. Well, wait, that's the federal. Hold on. Where are you guys getting August 3rd from? Where are you getting that information from? Here? There's a lot of confusion around the August 3rd Kentucky date, so let's clear it up. Amend the state constitution. Two arguments arguing for the third with one saying, oh my, wait, hold on. I'm sorry. Is it ambiguous? You'd have two sides arguing for the third with one saying Section 152 still constitutional requires a gubernatorial appointment for statewide vacancies. HB 622 failed because he tried to remove that. So Bashir would get an appointment amending Section 152 of the Constitution because law won't overdo it. They're arguing Section 152 is not reached federal U.S. Senate seats. Oh my God, it's fucking legally ambiguous. Holy shit. Oh my God, the law doesn't.
Okay, I don't care about this.
It has to do with, do you have a qualified, competent candidate who can beat the
nominee in Maine? The relationship was more than 2 years long before he entered her rural Maine home uninvited one night in late 2021. So under 5 years ago. He was deeply intoxicated and forced himself on her while she repeatedly told him to stop. She said she cut off contact with him after telling him the encounter was not consensual. I remember him grabbing my pelvis and being really forceful of me. She said, I remember the specific moment where I thought to myself, like, this is no longer my choice. Raisa Katz was one of the women that New York Times had talked to, we should say, but at that time, she gave kind of a more generic assessment. This is separate from the woman who had made the more notable allegations in the New York Times story, who's a Republican political operative. That's not the case for Raisa Katz. She said this, one of the reasons I didn't come forward sooner was the huge moral conflict that I had between supporting his politics but not supporting him as a person. I just want the truth out there. I just want people to have a whole scope of who he is as a person. She provides some corroborating evidence, including this Facebook message exchange. A friend, I guess, is asking her for advice about whether to fix up Plattner with a third person. Raisa Katz says to them, he can be charming and funny. He's a decently intelligent person. He's not all bad, but I ended up in a bad situation with him. I will just very politely call him consensually careless at times. She goes on when drunk and says he lies also. There are some of the more explicit details of the story here, including Raisa Katz saying that, I don't know how to say this in front of Sarah, he finished inside of her and that she was worried about that. And then after she realized she was not pregnant, she messaged him on Instagram, you know, saying that, you know, reading him the riot act and saying that she was ending contact with him. She since deleted those Instagram messages because she was trying to block it all out. So that is the allegation. Very serious, of course. Plattner put out a kind of strange 2 minute long video where he talked about, you know, all like his campaign. And I guess we'll talk about all that. But I just kind of want to play the key part of that video.
Regardless of the inaccuracy of the reporting, but mindful the political reality won't flick. We are taking the time to reflect on the best path forward.
So anyway, a lot there. I just thought that was a pretty noteworthy thing to say. We're taking time to reflect on the best path forward. We don't have a lot of time. July 13th is the last day for him to drop out of the race. But he maintains denial of the reporting, but not really a very forceful pushback. You know, type of thing, if you're planning on staying in the race, I would think that your response might be different. But Sarah, I was wondering what your kind of initial reactions to it are.
All right. So first of all, the reporting here is quite excellent because they have a lot of details. And I think for some people right now who are saying, whose instinct is to defend Plattner, they're going to say, well, I need to see more evidence. And actually, if you read the reporting carefully, the evidence is pretty strong, right? Like they have her, she's one of the women who's in the New York Times story, but she's very clear in the piece. They're very good at sort of laying out why in the piece she was somewhat more circumspect. And it also, you know, having looked at the New York Times piece when it came out, Lindsay Fifield got in a big fight with the New York Times. She is the Republican operative who says she was coaxed into telling the story in the New York Times and ultimately was angry because she felt like her story became central. And I think it became central because ultimately she had the most, like the biggest accusation in there, which was some sort of, you know, forcing her into a room and holding her arm behind her back. And so that was as close to sort of like, that was an assault allegation that sort of got framed as him trying to restrain her in some way, whatever. But it wasn't a knockout blow. This woman was also in that piece, but didn't come forward with a rape accusation. And let's be clear, Tim saying he's uncomfortable saying it in front of me. I'll just be really clear. Like, this is a rape accusation. What is in this piece?
Yeah, no, the word rape wasn't my problem. It was just talking about ejaculating.
Okay.
Maybe uncomfortable in a moment there.
Okay. Well, I don't know what to do about that. It's okay.
Listen, I wasn't blaming you. I'm just saying that, you know, saying ejaculation, I'm building up to it. Anyway, I'm sorry. It's a serious matter.
It's okay. And one of the things that I had a couple of the nuance. So the nuance of the reporting was strong, and I had a couple initial reactions. One is the text message that you showed, though, is frustrating to me because right at the bottom of it, the friend asks.
Oh my God!
So she says, forces himself on people? ? There's a response there, and I want to know what that response says. I'm just not in there. But the other thing to me that was notable was this idea that they had been sort of seeing each other casually. He shows up hammered, walks into her house, and like the idea that he's denying it. This is what happens when one person's sober and the other person's hammered, right? Like if she is sober and he is sort of overwhelming her or doesn't remember it the same way, but he was really drunk and she was at home sober. Like, we take her word for it. This isn't two people who were hammered. And so I feel like at some point, and it was always like this, I was willing to be open to the idea that an apology for the past Reddit behavior, for the past terrible things that he said, an apology and saying he was wrong and he had changed was okay. I could accept that. That was always the problem, though, with the new allegations when they started to come, the ones that were more recent, because it started to lay the predicate that he hadn't changed. And this coming out, this isn't from 20, even if it was, rape is rape. There's no like, hey, we get to, later it's okay, right?
Statute of limitations, yeah.
Yeah. But this was not that long ago. And it was recent enough that this woman has the receipts and people that she talked to. And so I just think there's no reason not to believe this account. And what we know of his character does not exonerate him from behavior like this. And he's right, though. It is a distraction. And I think that video, when you say it's a weird video, to me, it's like, okay, that's a trial balloon. And he's waiting to see if people pop it, right? He's waiting to see if the reaction is, no, you've got to stick this out.
I don't know, man. I don't. I mean, these guys have watched elections longer than me, but you never, ever show hesitancy until you're gone. That's why, like, people always get really mad and they pretend to not understand. But when people asked, they were asking, I think, McMorrow this, like, are you going to drop out? And she's like, no, I'm not going to drop out. And then obviously she drops out. It's the same thing when people are running against each other in primaries. It's the same thing when you're in the general. It really doesn't matter. You never, ever, ever show hesitancy. Like, people ask these questions in interviews. Oh, like, if you dropped out, would you consider a cabinet position with this person? It's like, I'm not even thinking about that. Why would you start talking about it? So I feel like the microsecond that guy is like, we're considering all options. Oh, he's gone. That means they're looking for a replacement or some semi-graceful way out, but that has to be the case, right? There's no possible way that it's anything beyond him stepping down. Like, that's just, yeah.
Or you've got to get out. And I think, and I'm just going to, this is the last thing I'll say, but we did a focus group of Maine women right before the New York Times story came out. And we asked them, okay, what, and they were all sticking with Plattner. They were all like, we're with him, but we're like, okay, what would be, if there was something that made you walk away, what would it be? They all say the sexual assault allegation. They said, there's no way I would be able to vote for him if something came out that it was substantiated that he had sexually assaulted somebody, because then in my mind, he should be in jail. He shouldn't be in Congress or in the Senate earning a paycheck off of taxpayers. Then Sharon says, I agree with Jen. She just said exactly how I feel. I'm looking at the long game. I want Collins out. It'd have to be pretty bad. And then the moderator said, do you have any idea what that would be? And Sharon said, maybe sexual assault. And Danielle said, probably sexual assault, or going back to what someone else said, that if it was the case, like, this is people talking. So we hope that our justice system was taking care of that. Then we wouldn't be in the situation where they'd be able to run. But, you know, I mean, look at the rest of our government. Like, who knows? So there's that. And then Kim said, I would think, like, if he was really, accused of sexual assault and that was a true thing, like, that would take him off the option to vote.
Yeah, well, that's good to know, I guess, that Maine Democratic voters aren't going to approve of somebody that commits sexual assault or rape. Look, my view on this is, and this is why I think that the video is weird, and I think it goes back to like a fundamental first principle on all this stuff, which is like, why does the Maine Senate race matter? Like, why does anybody care about this? Why do we care about this? Why do voters care about this? Like, everybody comes to these things with their own motivations. And like, I've been very upfront. I think most of us in the bulwark have. Like, I think it's critical that the Democrats take control of the Senate next year. And I would be willing to swallow people that have very different ideologies from me on a wide variety of issues.
Same.
If they are going to take the Senate, race is different than a governor's race or a mayor's race or a presidential race. That you're one vote out of 100, and it's like, extremely important that who knows what's happening with 82-year-old Trump in 2028. Like the top priority needs to be making sure that if the Democrats control both houses of Congress, they can check him. They can prevent him from putting, who the hell knows? He floated Ted Cruz today on the Supreme Court, or Eileen Cannon. They can stop Eileen Cannon from getting on the Supreme Court. They can investigate his corruption. Like, we could go down the whole list, right? Like, the Senate has huge oversight and advise and consent powers. And like, Susan Collins has not been a moderate disruptor. We've talked about this a lot. And so for that reason, it's critical that the Democrats are smart about who they nominate, and Democratic voters are smart about who they nominate, that they're responsible. And, my view on Plattner from the start was always like, it would be interesting to try kind of a DSA lefty populist working class guy. I wish it was in a state that was less important to the Democrat Senate majority, because it was a risk. Like, every time this has come up, that's what I said. It was a risk. And I'm like, this is why it's a risk. Like, if he then stays in this race past July 7th, 13th, and even more stuff comes out, and you hand the Democrats the Senate seat in the race that should be the easiest to take this year. I think this is like the most important thing, and why I'm frustrated with his like quote where he's like, I'm going to take a few days to decide. It's like, no, if you didn't rape this woman, then you should be fully, all in on campaigning for yourself and defending your honor and doing so respectfully, obviously, to the accuser. But like, you should be fully in on making sure that you're following out all the stops to demonstrate to people that you are trustworthy and they can rely on you and they should be behind you and you should win the Senate race. To do the whole like, oh, well, I don't know, we'll see how things go over the next couple of days. Like, that is somebody to me that like either thinks that there's more stuff coming out or doesn't have faith in himself that he can finish this race. And to me, that is the top sign that you have to move on. If the facts of this are true, that's the number one reason they have to move on. But I just mean, from a political standpoint, it's like, the Democrats cannot take it cannot have a nominee in the state that they most need to win, number one, the state that Kamala won, that should be the easiest to win, and put it behind somebody who seems unwilling to even fully defend himself, like, in the face of these accusations, and who seems to make me think that more stuff is coming out. I don't know. So to me, like, that just says, okay, it's time to move on.
Yeah, and I think that there's two parts of this to talk about. There's the moral part of it, and there's the political part of it. Now, I think a credible accusation of rape,
it's not good.
I think that's the ballgame, personally. But the political side of it is, like, it is now, because, like you said, there's no statute of limitation on rape. Like, there's going to be questions of whether she's going to bring charges. Like, think about this for a second. For people who are sitting there right now thinking, you should stay
happening
in and breeze through this.
Think.
Republicans have so many, you know, credibly accused rapists, not the least of which is the sitting president of the United States, who has 28 sexual assault allegations against him and has been adjudicated of rape. Like,
yeah. But I love the people in the comments or whatever on Twitter. Some people are talking about, like, talk about Trump. What about Trump's rapes? I'm like, I have. Like, Trump's, like, we talk about Trump shit all the time. Trump, I opposed Trump 3 times. Like, it's crazy that he's in there. Yeah, it's worse. It's worse. The accusations against him are worse. Okay, so.
And the scale of them are worse. And yeah. He shouldn't have been elected president. And basically, that's the whole reason the Bulwark exists.
Agreed.
Is to oppose Donald Trump, because we think he is morally and ethically unfit in every way to be a part of this country or to be running this country. And that's, we've been doing that for 8 years. And so nobody can hold a candle to us in terms of saying that Donald Trump should be gone, and that a big part of the reasons were allegations, like sexual assault allegations. He should have been gone from the moment that the Inside Edition, whatever tape came out on the bus.
Well, he admitted to sexual assault. He bragged about
it. He admitted
it.
Okay, so he's gone. He should be gone. And I also want to say this, that I'm with Tim. Like, I was,
that was not good damage.
I was really trying to get there on Plattner because it was important. And also because for me, it was not a question of ideology. Like, sometimes people in the chat or wherever are like, well, Sarah's a Republican. Guys, all of us were Republicans at the Bulwark. Every single one of us,
not
except for the new people, right? Everybody who founded it, right? Bill, Tim, JVL, Mona, that's what we were all doing, okay? And we all walked out on Trump because he was of bad character. He was a horrible person. And we want to do everything we can to stop him. The main Senate seat is deeply critical. So do you know why it's important right now? Is that there is still time. There's still time.
Yeah.
You know, the let's see. Plattner would have to formally withdraw by 5 p.m. on July 13th. Then a vacancy in the nomination is created that has to be filled by July 27th. Now, look, it's bad. It's bad that we are in this situation, just like it was bad when we were in the situation with Biden. But that is the problem with the people who don't make good decisions about who the candidate should be. It has nothing to do with progressives versus centrists. It has to do with, do you have a qualified, competent candidate who can beat the other person effectively? And right now, the answer on Graham Plattner is no on the political question.
I agree with that. And this is one thing, again, just to just talk about the progressive factionalist fight about this for a second, because that does drive a lot of all this. I mean, we can just be honest. Like, a lot of people's takes about Plattner are downstream from their takes on ideology, right? And it's like a lot of the people who are very big Plattner supporters have been defending him. If these same accusations had been out against Josh Shapiro, they would be the first ones to say that he should be thrown overboard, and vice versa. But most, obviously, there are people of goodwill out there, but like a lot of this is downstream of that. I think that the progressive side has like some decent arguments and critiques of the Democratic establishment and how they ran campaigns from 2016 to 2024.
No,
and like
they
nominating
don't.
Candidates who put working class interests first and who are more clearly anti.
Yeah, where were their candidates then?
Into,
anybody can have good critiques. Hold on, you don't have to give it to them. You really don't. Anybody can have good critiques. But like, do nothing, right? Where if they had such great fucking critiques, if these guys knew so much about winning elections, where the fuck are all their candidates? Why didn't they fucking go out and win any elections then? They didn't. They didn't win anywhere. They didn't do anything. Oh my god, I just can't.
Me to Steve and D&D.
What? We won all the time. We were true winners. Yeah.
We were.
Wait, really? Don't look now, but Matt Yglesias deleted all of his tweets defending Plattner's Nazi tattoo. Wait, really? Really?
Since we're fighting with the comments, let's keep doing it. Yeah, so like somebody just said, you know, they used the F word. They said, screw your soul, the country's at stake.
Exactly,
I agree that the country's at stake. I agree that democracy's at stake, which is why now a rapist, an accused rapist, who, by the way, not the first piece of baggage this guy's been carrying around, lots of other stuff going on. It's, in fact, there's multiple women now who've accused him of very toxic behavior. I'm sorry, guys. Yes, the country's at stake. That's why we needed better candidates. And it has nothing to do with Israel. You know what? Just to tag on to Tim's point, if you get Nordic socialism, then our previous Republican hearts would just be like, fine, whatever. The extent to which we have been willing to not just compromise, but sort of forego a lot of bespoke policy preferences to align with Democrats to win and defeat Donald Trump. That's what we do. That's what we've done. And so no one's funded by AIPAC. And you know what? Candidates who are super critical of Israel, I think that's where the Democratic base is right now. And they might be more critical than I might be, although I've been more critical than I ever have been in my life. There's a lot of bad stuff going on. So like, this is nothing to do with AIPAC. It has to do with who can defeat Susan Collins and how are we going to get there? And Grant Plattner now has too much baggage. And that is not, we're not giving him that baggage by talking about it. We're just acknowledging the obvious, just like we acknowledge the obvious that Joe Biden was too old to run for a second term.
I'm pretty concerned. I have a lot of concerns about how much money AIPAC is spending in the Democratic primaries. Actually, I don't think it's pretty helpful, very helpful. I've been critical of it, but this is not there. Speaking of that.
Why does Tim feel like he needs to apologize for his own opinions and pivot? I cannot explain the brain rot. I don't know. There's got to be some psychological thing about if people are, I don't know. If I were to sit and like write down a bunch of stuff, maybe I could try to think of a thing, but yeah, it is unbelievably mind-rotting, where people feel like they have to do this weird, like, constant capitulation or giving assurances to people on the far left or whatever, no matter who you are, what your politics are. It's, or I mean, like, well, not no matter what your politics are, but if you're on the left, you always have to be nice to them.
Here's some other people who have weighed in on this. Ruben Gallego, who has the same consultants as Graham Platner. I think it's just worth noteworthy. The allegations against Graham Platner are troubling and deeply serious. I'm rescinding my endorsement. We have Ro Khanna, also kind of representing the populist left, kind of anti-APAC crowd. I've been very clear that sexual assault or violence against women is a red line. These allegations are very serious and credible. Graham Platner should drop out from the race. I'm withdrawing my endorsement. So
that's,
I mean,
it. He's gone. He's done.
Frankly, he's been done.
Frankly, Ro Khanna and Ruben, like, are going farther than I would have expected. Again, it's so funny. Like, people are to take this moment for, like, and they'll be infighting on the internet about the Democratic Party. But, like, once again, this is, like, the Democratic Party across factions being responsible. Like, Ro Khanna's not digging in right now because he's in part of his factional fight. Just like, again, just like when Andrew Cuomo, like, had these accusations, a lot of the centrist Democrats threw him overboard. You know?
Correctly.
Correctly. It was the right thing to do. There's really no surviving it for Platner. So, I mean, at this point, I guess the question is how to move forward with a candidate that comes out of, you know, a state party convention, which is not ideal. But, you know, hopefully, I think the best thing would be that candidate can kind of channel some of
good
the messaging
one,
from Platner.
Good one. Glad it's a fucking joke to you.
Make his biggest supporters, like, feel like they have a stake in the campaign. I think that's going to be a big challenge. But, you know, but doing so in a way that kind of speaks to the median main voter and that, frankly, just gets the just gets the coalition out.
I swear to God, winning Maine, if somebody would run and say, hello, I'm Joe, and I'm literally a generic Democrat. I will be a generic Democrat for you. I will go in there, and I will vote with Democrats, and I will support Democrats, and I will stand in the way of absolutely everything Donald Trump is doing. My candidate can probably win.
Nobody wants normal people, bruh. No one cares. Nobody wants anything normal anymore. You're wrong.
A popular person being mentioned among Platner supporters right now. Again, he's a state senator, was a logger, described himself as progressive. So we'll see how that goes. I have two fun end things I want to do. I'm just paging through the comments here. Sorry, guys. I want to put these on screen. But I don't get that working right now.
I thought you were a professional streamer now.
I know. Yeah, so this person says, y'all were circle the wagons as Republicans. No, I was not that. I actually left being the Republican because I did not want to circle the wagons. Literally the opposite.
Definite opposite.
Okay, but thank you. But thank you for your $2. Troy Jackson polls well against Collins. Jay Dizzle. There you go. Troy Jackson again. Some people who wouldn't vote for Harris because of Israel were willing to stump for Platner despite a Nazi tattoo. And the media game for Algo love. Yeah, that's not... it's not a nice thing to say about some of the Platner people. Clarify this analysis. Platner is not a DSA candidate. I don't think he actually is, right?
He was kind of a populist
from some readers or some
train, but I don't think he was technically
a shorthand the other day. I like using DSA as an umbrella term for populist left. I understand, like, all the terms are changing. Like,
you
liberal
shouldn't
used
do
to
that.
No,
far left,
you shouldn't,
now,
because the DSA is like a specific, particularly organized
group
of people.
I'm a liberal now. Hey, it's awesome. So I'm a liberal.
Come on, bro. What's he doing?
If I'm talking about DSA, maybe I'll just start saying populist left, but I kind of just mean broadly.
Yeah, that would be better.
You know, the folks in that role, because the big Platner supporters are also the same as a lot of the bigs, and literally the same as far as the consultants are concerned. He is Zohran's consultant, Morris Katz, right on my podcast.
No!
Character is everything. We appreciated that. Let's see here. Oh, I liked this one. This is worth your $9.99. Big lasagna. There is only one option to replace Platner, an intellectual policy wonk with progressive bona fides and roots in Maine. It's time for Senator Matthew Iglesias. I don't think that's the path. We have some HCR stuff. Anyway, okay.
Yeah, I think HCR is. I think HCR and Kinzinger are two good options, guys.
Okay, Kinzinger lives in Houston.
Kinzinger?
So I don't think Kinzinger. Somebody's unhappy with the rest of the chat, and they're saying they are not liking the whataboutism. It's serious and should be treated as serious. I agree with that, and I appreciate you, Pat. Oh, it's Pat. It's our guy, Pat. Pat Kinky. He's got a good YouTube channel. You should go check him out, too. He's pastor
Pat
over in
Tanky.
Minnesota. We need more liberal pastors out there fighting a good fight. Okay, my final take. Are you ready for this?
Yeah, hit me.
Got to hand it to the people of Blue Sky. Oh, wait, no, I have two final takes. Here's number one. They're both fun. Got to hand it to the people of Blue Sky. The Blue Sky resist libs. Never liked Platner. They were always Janet Mills people. They're in the minority.
Uh-oh.
And it's just time and again, the median MS Now viewer with their basic takes, which is that Donald Trump is bad, and Donald Trump...
I feel like if you were trying to make video clips, or if you're trying to, like, attack people who are on these DSA wagons or whatever, I feel like the peak smug for a lot of these guys was definitely... it was definitely after the New York Times piece came out, and it didn't get much traction because there just wasn't much there. But that's definitely peak smug for a lot of the DSA types. If you're trying to farm or look for crazy tweets and shit they've always made.
Basically, like, tacitly implied that he had sexually assaulted her.
Oof. It's gonna be a rough one.
water jug.
Fucking guys, hydrating over here, bro.
The gym rat. You're over here with a gallon jug.
I'd have pissed so many times, dude.
We did a like an Airbnb in a yurt this weekend, so I needed to bring a.
Yo, how was that?
It's fucking beautiful and amazing, and I don't get out in nature enough, and I need to do it more.
Yeah. That's good, bro.
What's this?
Good for you.
What did you guys do?
Nature slop.
For the fourth, how did you celebrate your unbridled patriotism?
Closing the windows, like that meme.
Yeah, setting out the fireworks because I don't want to go.
Did you see the like Trump came out in the rain, right? Or like he said don't go to the celebration or whatever. Or sorry, no, he said go no matter what. My apologies.
I didn't see that. No.
Oh, I did see like after they canceled it, he told people to stick around and don't listen
to
the warnings.
Like, stay anyway. Yeah. Well, I'm glad that like no one ended up hurt or anything because of that. But he was like, no matter what, I am going to give this speech, which you know,
crazy.
Props.
Well, Soypill, you got to kick us off with your official improvised intro.
Improvised intro. Welcome to Live and Learn, the only show where the Soypill is on the road and packs everything except the mic, including the cables, because he's a fucking idiot. So if he's on his headphones.
Oh, no.
What? So
you sound
what mic,
great.
What mic are you using? It sounds like there's a mic. Oh, it's in the headphones. Gotcha. Mm-hmm. You might need to project a little bit when you speak.
Yes. All right. So
that
everyone in this fucking hotel who already hates me for taking up their little business room and stealing their Ethernet is also going to scream at me for yelling. Yelling about Blattner.
You don't need to yell, but just make sure you project a bit.
Come on, oh, guys. Boy.
You guys are going to get all the, it's going to be like Good Morning America. You're going to see everyone walking back in the background, all the
I actually think it's sick. Yeah. I think that's like, it's giving West Wing. It's really nice, but not a lot of news going on today.
No, he's traveling all over the place, man. Where are you? What are you doing?
You know about my side hustle guy. I don't like telling people about it. It's not a
public.
Okay,
you're doing that? Okay,
yeah.
I'm just curious.
Sometimes you got to spend money to make money. That's all I'll say.
Yeah. he's hawking Trump coin. All right. It's not in line with his values, but yeah. Should we get into it, folks?
Into it.
Jesus fucking Christ.
All right. So big allegations against Graham Plattner. It's not fair to say, I think, that there wasn't the same person who came out before. So this is a follow-on from the New York Times original story, I believe, and from the political reporting. But it is fair to say that there is now additional specification, clarification, and accusation of full-on rape, and that it's been substantiated with at least contemporaneous or pre-Plattner political movement communications corroborating or attesting to this alleged break-in and rape. And the response has been quite devastating in terms of his support, which has crumbled among Democratic loyalists. And additionally,
yes,
I think in terms of political commentators, pundits, the media class at a bare minimum, and I'll just end with this by saying that additionally, he has given what I think is coded language for, I'm not sure if this campaign is going to go on much further. It feels like a coded language to me, but you tell me what you think.
So just to clarify further, the allegations are not coming from Lindsay Feifeld, who was the main subject of the New York Times reporting. She was the one who alleged some physical abuse, I would call abuse, a lot of really problematic toxic behavior. These allegations are from a woman by the name of, oh man, what's her name, guys? She was also in the New York Times article, but they didn't get into these details. And in the article, she specifies that she didn't initially want to come forward with these rape allegations because she didn't want to be known as an SA victim. Like, I think were her own words. And it's really bad.
Denny Rassiot.
Rassicott or something
Rassicott,
like that?
I don't know how to pronounce it, but she's a 41-year-old Maine resident. She spoke to the New York Times initially, did not give further details. It was one of those, there was a line out of the New York Times reporting that said something like additional troubling or disturbing things, but that she didn't give additional specification. Additional tidbits to note here is she claims to be politically aligned with Plattner, and that was part of her difficulty in coming to the decision. There are receipts included in the article about her messaging other women who had at least some connection to Plattner and warning them. And that, again, I think is from 2023, 2 years after the allegations of the break-in and rape, and years before Plattner was, I guess, politically relevant. And by the way, I'm using the term grape, not because I'm not learning the other term, but just for purposes related to following TOS, because I do know that they, like, flag and do stuff like that. So I'm just, that's just been my experience, that I've had that happen, but happy to use the term.
I made Witch say, like, rape, and it worked fine, so I think we're good.
Okay. So I'll use the term. It's alleged rape. I mean, even under like any definition of rape, it's an allegation of rape. That's what it is.
She alleges that he showed up at her home really late at night, very intoxicated, and forced himself on her despite her saying no. And she said that she thought about waking him up, and she decided against that because she didn't know. I don't remember exactly what her reasoning was, but she asked him in the morning, "Do you remember what happened last night?" He said no. She kicked him out of the home and said never contact her again. To what Pisco was saying, she messaged a friend warning her about him and basically like tacitly implied that he had sexually assaulted her. And that text message, I think, is from like a few years ago. The New York Times interviewed an ex-boyfriend of hers who she spoke about the incident to. So in order to believe that she's just like manufacturing these smears, you would have to believe that she was playing the long game for years, that, you know, like planting the seeds of this lie, you know, in anticipation of him running for office. It's just like completely unbelievable that she would just make this up. It's just, yeah.
Okay, so
my question,
the reason I asked... just real quickly, the reason why I asked, are people abandoning her? Because I haven't been on X to see what's going on. I haven't seen the fallout. So who has come out
undefeated
that changed their mind or that has condemned him?
Emma Vigeland. Emma Vigeland. Yeah, everyone's kind of dropping.
Yeah. Okay. So forget Emma Vigeland is a nobody. Couldn't care less. But Rokana, you said?
Base.
Yeah, Rokana said it. Yeah.
The pod
himself told him to stop. That's the biggest and most important of all, so he should drop out. So
what did Rokana say?
He said that rape was a red line for him, and that would be the end of his sport.
Sexual violence against women is a red line, I believe.
Yeah, I've been very clear that sexual assault or violence against women is a red line. These allegations are very serious and credible. Graham Platner should drop out from the race, and I am withdrawing my endorsement.
Wow. Okay, so
Ruben Gallego as well received an endorsement.
Who takes over? Are we back on Janet Mills' train or what?
So there's, as I'm understanding, there's processes in Maine state law that allow for replacement candidates from a party prior to a date certain if there's a withdrawal. And then there's an additional deadline on the party determination as to who should be beyond that, I think in late July. But the deadlines are coming up.
But whose names are being floated? Again, I haven't seen any of this.
So one of the losing candidate in the governor's race, whose name now escapes me, but he is more like a progressive aligned candidate, and I think he lost in the governor's nomination contest. Right now, again, I'm totally losing track of who his name was, but Janet Mills is also being talked about, but there's a sense of, I think, chaos and uncertainty about next steps, and even what that process looks like.
Question is, what really fundamentally changed from this story, from the last one, from the wanting to go out and kill people, from the Nazi tattoo? Like, why is this the one where everyone's like, well, that just because it's more credible, like now I can't like defend it anymore?
Because he raped somebody?
To me, this changes the calculus a little. Yep. Like, I just assumed all the other stuff was true. So.
Jesus.
Here's how it changes the calculation. So first off, in terms of and why I think it's in line with at least we are the ones, I think, historically, I've had the most conversations about this notion of vote blue no matter who and the calculation and the hypotheticals about Jeffrey Epstein and all that stuff. For me, as I've always said in my commentary and talking about vote blue no matter who, it's important, number one, that any candidate you're choosing between, that there remains some viability in that candidate, number one. Number two, I think that additionally, there's a harm. Like, if you're not able to actually do harm reduction, then the kind of vote blue no matter who calculation, even though it's well-intentioned, I understand and believe that many people who supported Platner, including myself, and who endorsed Platner, including myself, wanted him to do good, wanted to stop the fascist encroachment by Trump, and I thought he was best positioned to do that. But given the where he is politically, he is going to not help that effort. He is going to hurt that effort. So both from an electoral perspective, from an outcomes perspective, and again, just in terms of the nature of the allegation, now there's credible contemporaneous documentation that at least would tend to indicate the reliability of it. And additionally, him coming out and saying something to the effect of, hey, we're going to consider the future in the campaign, indicates to me that there isn't a really good response to this, and there isn't any kind of way to detract from it. And additionally, that his own campaign wants to toss in the towel. So all of those factors mean it's not viable anymore, in my view. He wouldn't be able to achieve the results of harm reduction, and given the nature of the allegations, we don't have people to actually work with him. So all of those factors, including the inherent wickedness of the act, which now has more corroboration, more specificity, means that it's a changed circumstance, obviously.
Okay, well, but then my question for everyone is, just based on all of our conversations, is if this didn't affect his like polling significantly and he's still out of campaign and it didn't drop, would that change anything?
You're saying assume that everyone is on board, assume that there is no second-order effects?
Jump back in time 4 weeks to when this other story dropped about all these women accusing him of stuff, and just say that this is the story to drop then, and then everything that happened afterwards was the same stuff, instead of him like potentially dropping out.
I don't think he's understanding the difference here. Like I said before, when I'm being fair, like the other allegations, it's not good when men are like physical with women, of course, but we went from like, seemed like he was kind of bullying an ex, which he shouldn't have been physically, to like full-on hardcore common vag rape. Like this is significantly further than the last story.
But you're saying as though the second order effects of that
The second order effects of the story didn't happen. It's the reaction was like the reaction from the first one, and he doesn't like dropping out, right?
Yeah. No. So my line on it is always going
to
be.
Does Soypill just think it has to do with the reaction to the story? I don't think he knows. I'm not sure. I'm sorry. Hold on. Also, I misquoted. I'm sorry. I misstated what the story was. It was a breaking an entry into full on cum and vagina rape. That's a pretty crazy. Ooh, that's a lot more.
The harm reduction overall. And so, if you could tell me that this is not going to undermine Democrats writ large across the country, that it's not going to actually change the ability for him to reduce the harm to real people, to reduce the corruption that everyone is suffering through, to stop all the sort of policies that are coming across that every day are causing people to be, I think, more at risk and to be, all that is held equal, then I think it's just an easy like on-off switch for me. I'm a pragmatist before, I'm an ideologue. I've always said that. But this changes obviously the calculation as to whether or not that can be achieved. And honestly, right, even just looking at the potential future for any kind of candidacy for Platner in the Senate, if you can't find people to work with you, how is it possible that you're going to be able to achieve those ends in the first place? But always, I would think you'd be a moral monster not to put the interest of the many above the interest of the few. And that unfortunately means sometimes signing off to lesser two evils. In this case, it's an easy decision for you because now everything has been equalized. We don't have to hold constant things that aren't constant, that he won't be able to achieve those aims. And so I'm rescinding my endorsement. I don't support him for the race anymore. It's an easy calculation.
It's pretty wild that this played out the way that it did, especially after like on this podcast, we've had serious long-running debates about like how far would people be willing to go in terms of who they would vote for. against a Republican. And I mean, I agree with Peascale. Like, if this played out and the reaction was there was no serious push to have him exit the race, then if I was a Maine voter, I would probably vote for Plattner. But with every new scandal,
that's where I am.
Well, I love women, first of all. First of all, I'd like to say I love women. And also, I would like to say L rape in the chat. I would still vote for Plattner over fucking the Republican. I don't give a fuck. I would. That being said, the issue is, I feel like sometimes when people talk about this vote blue no matter who shit, there's this weird thing that's happening, especially where these like lefties or these lefty adjacent people, they're using like vote blue no matter who. I don't know who's noticed or not. They use vote blue no matter who to attack you when you attack them in the primaries. So like right now, if you're still in the primaries, then it's fine to attack, you know, even the presumptive, well, I don't say presumptive nominee, but the guy who seems like he's ahead. But once you're out of the primaries, then you vote blue no matter who. So like I've noticed that a lot, that there's a lot of weird like, they'll be like, oh, I thought it was vote blue no matter who. Why are you guys being so mean on Plattner? Even though, like, he hadn't technically gotten out of the primaries yet. But, yeah, I don't know. They've conflated it on this point a lot. But
so that's consistent. I appreciate that. Because I'm like, if we're doing the segregationist Andy Epstein thing, I'm like, this is not nearly as bad as either of those, right? And he's still better than Susan Collins. Sorry, guys.
There's some caveats there. Like, I've elected to just stop talking about the Plattner situation. Like, my concerns about Plattner didn't go away. But as soon as I saw the Senate Democrats have a meeting with him, and then seemingly all indicate that they weren't like going to make any serious push to like push him out of the race, at that point, I calculated, okay, well, there's not enough time to actually get this guy gone from the race. So, you know, he's the guy. And so I'll donate $50 to his campaign. I just won't talk about it. But yeah,
I mean, it really is for me. If you don't feel that the country's in danger right now from what's happening around you, and you think that we're in a moment when, in my view, we're like all in an airplane heading for a crash, that beggars can be choosers, in other words, I don't think that you realize or appreciate the same stakes that I do. And so that has always been my rationale in terms of supporting Plattner, was an instrument to an end. And that end is to buck the presidency. And that end is to stop the corruption. And that end is to help Americans. To the extent that that's no longer viable, to the extent that that's no longer useful, right? I've never trusted Plattner, as we've talked about multiple times. I thought he was lying about his tattoo. I think that he is a liar in general. I think he's just feeding people what they want to hear. I brought up specific instances of what he said about impeaching judges, et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, once that loses any force of convincingness, then yeah, obviously you should drop it. And additionally, it is, I think, more the allegations, the specificity, and the contemporaneous communications absolutely changes the calculation in the minds of normal people, as it should, right? And they don't have the same kind of easy to put up rebuttals regarding the first woman that came forward and the nature of her allegations, which were not rape.
The whole article, is it that he broke into her house? Or are we sure that it wasn't like a self-defense, like she broke into his house?
No. Huh? He came over uninvited. Oh, that's she let him in.
Self-defense, oh, rape? It's rape. Oh, okay.
That's how you just...
You don't remember? That was
no,
the
it's
first
a reference
article,
to the comment.
He was trying to get someone to break into my house. Yeah, someone were to break into my house. You know what I'd do?
I see.
A little soon, maybe.
Like a larger...
But...
conversation to be had right now in this moment, and I think it's one about like where the electorate is at and where the discourse is at, because to me this is really alarming. I've long maintained for months that this campaign should have been over as soon as the Oopsie Daisy Nazi tattoo came out, just full stop. Like, and it's fucking absurd, ridiculous, and kind of hilarious when you remove yourself entirely from the situation
and then just look at how things have played out
right then and
yeah
there. And
kind of,
I can appreciate
bit.
That people have frustration with Democratic Party leadership. I can appreciate the fact that people are frustrated. I have a lot of frustrations with them as well, but the fact that people were willing to overlook so many red flags, like really prominent voices in online politics, were willing to just look past what to any reasonable adult were obvious red flags, and then double, triple, quadruple down with each new story, I think is really, really, really alarming.
Kind of.
I hope it's a learning moment.
No, it won't be much, as I was about to say. Those same people will say, well, the establishment shouldn't have put up such a shitty candidate that we were forced to defend this guy, and he was the best compared to the garbage that the centrists put up. I mean, they'll never take accountability for any of this shit.
Well,
I don't want people to be too, for normal people in the chat here who are like watching and like feeling bad about themselves or whatever. None of you thought that Graham Plattner was a rapist. I didn't think and don't think that he was a Nazi, although, you know, time may tell. I now think that these allegations are credible.
But that's not, hold on. The issue is not whether or not he is a Nazi. I think he's not a Nazi, right? I don't think he's a Nazi now. I don't even know if anybody thinks he's a Nazi now. The issue is what Hutch said, is everything you guys were willing to look past that you certainly wouldn't have looked past if it was a moderate Dem candidate, right? The issue is, like, how many more skeletons could this guy have in his closet if he's willing to lie about something so obvious, right? That was always the issue, right?
More likely than not. And you are allowed to change your diagnosis as circumstances change. Everyone here, all four of us, I believe, supported Plattner in the general election pre these allegations coming out.
Look, Pisco does this a lot. I think I kind of understand Soypill's perspective here, why Soypill is joking around a bit more, is because Soypill was on, like, when Soypill says vote blue no matter who, I think Soypill was, like, you know, we're talking about the general election, but in the primaries we can fight. But PSCO is doing this like retarded thing where you're mixing up. We're not at the generals yet. And when people were talking about the Nazi tattoo, we definitely weren't at the generals. So I don't know why PSCO is talking about the generals here. It's not part of the analysis at all. The Nazi tattoo, whatever bullshit and him lying about that, that wasn't a general problem. That was a primary problem. But PSCO is like talking past the point because these guys just all auto assume that the fucking slopulus is going to win or whatever.
I now think that these allegations are credible, more likely than not. And you are allowed to change your diagnosis as circumstances change. Everyone here, all four of us, I believe, supported Plattner in the general election pre these allegations coming out. Find your favorite Democratic influencer and tell me that they didn't. And if you do, by the way, I think that I'll show you someone who wasn't making the correct moral calculus at the time with the information that existed then.
What do you mean? We're not at the general.
Voices that were insisting that he had to be the nominee.
Yep.
During the primary. The whole online left space, with very few exceptions, were insisting that he had to be the guy. A lot of these people were calling these centrist smears. A lot of these people were insisting that the last round of allegations should have been summarily dismissed because of the politics of the accuser. Like, it was fucking disgusting. And, you know, those people, I agree with you, Ira. It should be a learning moment. But what these people are going to do is they're going to try to find a way to spin the blame on the establishment or whatever for not putting up a candidate suitable enough to challenge him. And there is some truth to that, to be clear. I'm not even saying there's no truth to that. But the people that doubled down and insisted that every one of us that had serious concerns about his candidacy were just buying into smears. If they were reasonable people, they would do some reflecting after this.
Ooh.
See, I was consistent. I was like, hey, Kyle, I think you're doing the MAGA defense here, Mr. Kalinske, but you know what? We should still vote for him. So, this changed not a lot for me.
What has Kyle Kalinske said? Anything, or has he gone radio silent?
Oh, man.
Uh-oh.
I'm not sure. Because he was a big champion of Plattner and the whole...
These are fundamentally different things, right? So on the one hand, there's an array of statements that one can make that are fucking not defensible. These are statements saying, offhandedly dismissing A, B, or C, saying that the Nazi tattoo had like a good response from Plattner, saying that it has to be Plattner over anyone else, as opposed to he's the least bad option. Those aren't the same thing as saying, in the context of a race, supporting a candidate, the best option is Plattner in terms of electability, or in the general, saying the best option in terms of electability and in terms of harm reduction is Plattner. I just want to be clear about something. I don't retract a single thing I said regarding what I thought was the correct moral choice in the given situation. And I would cause anyone who thinks that it was correct to sit out in the context of a general election with the information that we had now, or to, on the other hand, endorse Susan Collins. I think that that is the wrong lesson to take from it. I think the right lesson to take from this is we need more competitive candidates and better vetted candidates.
Well, I wasn't saying that you were in the same category.
Well, I'm not going at you, by the way. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to go after you. Hutch did, by the way. I remember distinctly when the New York Times story came out, Hutch was totally on the forefront saying, don't just dismiss them because they're one of them is related to the Heritage Foundation. Don't just dismiss the allegations because the Republicans. Hutch has been, I think, calibrated with his critiques. And I don't think Hutch should get a hard time for donating to Plattner either. Hutch was taking what I think, given the information that I said at the time, the right...
Who is giving Hutch a hard time? Why is Peter? I don't think he has to come out and defend Hutch here. Wait, what? What?
Moral choice, and so I don't think that is anything to be ashamed about, Hutch. To be honest,
I'm not. To be clear, okay, yeah, go ahead.
-50.
What is he doing?
Listen, it's not the first time.
PSCO.
I don't know. He's acting like he's like stepping out to defend Hutch because Hutch donated publicly to Plattner, showing he'd vote blue no matter who. But the person who would need the defense here is PSCO. Like, these guys went so hard into saying everything was ridiculous and there was no reason to doubt that, he could be the candidate and the Nazi tattoo wasn't a big deal and you have to support the people. And I mean, I quote tweeted it, PSCO had his little vote blue no matter who, like all these guys to pretend like Hutch is the one who needs for the reputation defense here is hilarious.
I spend money on a losing, candidate, but
Hutch, you and I bet both can own. How much did we dump into a Bernie campaign? And he didn't win, right? It happens.
I gave him like $1,000 or $2,000. I can't remember, but yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, no, look, it was the right thing to do at the time.
I'm with PSCO on this is a candidate quality problem in general. I think that these people like Plattner and I'm going to say some of these DSA candidates in New York too, like some of these people have no business running for anything. And I think that the only reason they are is because there is a lack of good candidates. But I think Plattner actually plays into that too, because imagine how many good quality people aren't running for office right now because they're like, I had a couple rough relationships 10 years ago and I don't want the New York Times interviewing my ex-boyfriend or whatever. I did some crazy shit, whatever. I don't know. I'm not trying to excuse his behavior, but there's a lesser degree of what he did. Like the first round of accusations, the uncomfortableness and the roughness with women that I'm willing to bet a lot of qualified people don't want anything to do with. And they're like, I'm not running for office. I don't care. So I think how we react to this Plattner situation is important, keeping that in mind for future candidate recruitment as well.
Yeah, that there are levels to this, and I think that there are degrees to which you should and should not have a given reaction. One thing to note is, number one, the moral difference, I think, between the Republicans and the Democrats overall. The less said about that, the better. You guys know what I was going to say there, so I'll just like move on from that in terms of what the Democrats are willing to hold their politicians to account for. But also, not everyone, I think, views candidates and politicians.
I'm sorry. Fuck me, dude. Fuck. I'm so glad I'm not Jewish. This, like, patting themselves on the back after their candidate crushed the Dem to be like, we're such good people. The guy had a Nazi tattoo for like 16 years and then fucking played you all for suckers lying about it. Like, I'm sorry, but you're not like that much better. Like, chill, okay? I understand that it's popular right now to hate Jewish people and all that, but, like, holy fuck. This, like, patting yourself on the back, like, well, yeah, man, we're such good people that we fucking, that we are able to, like, come out here and call him out on his bullshit. No, the rape thing is just too, it's a bridge too far for you. The raping is generally for most people, you know? Well, not for most people, actually, it's for half the people, because for conservatives in the country, they don't give a fuck. But for half this country, rape is a bridge too far, even for the moderate Dems, as much as you might malign them. But, like, you are willing to put so much, throw so much under the bridge, let so much go under the bridge. Come on, let's slow your roll here before you break your arm, pat yourself on the back.
Things like we do as like tools or means to an end. And I do believe that there are a lot of people who today are brokenhearted because they believed in Plattner's message. They believe that he was a change in politics. They didn't think that he was a rapist. They didn't have a reason to think that he was, that a bunch of the stuff maybe they were lied to, or maybe they believed the stories, but they didn't think that it was disqualifying or that he had changed or anything like that. And so to those people, I don't think that you need to hold your head in shame. I think that you guys cared about Paul, a lot of you, not everyone. Again, everyone has their own different stories, different statements that aren't justified or whatever. But in general, I don't think that there's anything wrong with being involved and keeping an eye towards having a different kind of politics. And I don't think that you have anything to be ashamed about unless you have an individual statement or something that you believe to be unjustified.
Hey, real quick, guys, does this sound better?
Yes,
it actually does.
Okay, I'm just gonna use my phone then. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you seeing people like disillusioned, Pisco? Because this feels kind of like
disappointed.
It sounds like you're describing a John Edwards moment here, where people put their heart and soul into this guy, and he turned out to be a piece of shit. Is that what you're trying to offset here, or you're trying to speak to? Because I haven't seen that, but I'm curious if you have.
No, I'm seeing people who are genuinely disappointed and crushed at someone that they thought was of someone who didn't have this in their past, or maybe they did a couple bad things in the war. But in general, the allegations, maybe he was a little bit rough, or they don't believe the story because he's a Republican op or something. That when a story like this drops, where the political bias, as alleged, is on the other side, and when there actually is good reason to believe in the specificity, in the detail, right? We're not going off like, it is specific, almost, it's graphic, right? It is graphic. And again, there's some corroboration for it, that was what they were not waiting for. That's not what they were not expecting. And it feels like now they have to do this choice, either, give up this brand of politics or something that they truly believe in or whatever, or give up their moral or something like that. And that, that's a tough choice for them. But for people who never trusted Plattner, who didn't like him generally or whatever, or who just thought him as an instrument to an end, it's very easy to shift off of that. But what I'm trying to say is there's a group of people who are very excited by his candidacy and who today must be feeling very let down. And I don't think it's easy to dismiss them as being like, well, they're all the Hassans of the world. They're all the propagandists of the world. I do think that there was something there for those people.
I don't have a problem with people.
Oh, my God, bro. Are we serious right now? Holy shit.
Who believed in his message and his politics and his vision, that's fine. But if you gaslit other people about this guy's obvious problems and insisted that you were playing into smears by voicing very reasonable concerns, you should be ashamed. Yes. 100%. And you should reflect.
If you're lying or saying things that are unjustified in virtue of the evidence, or saying something without evidence, I agree with that.
Well, not even lying, Pisco. I mean, we knew immediately once this Reddit stuff dropped and this guy was enthusiastic about going to war and killing people, this guy lied about his fucking Nazi tattoo. Like, past that, everyone was defending this over and over and over and telling us, no, smear, smear, smear. No, you're being, you're gaslighting. What happened to Vote Blue no matter who? When Mills was still a viable candidate. And I'm sorry, there are so many people right now that should eat their own fucking words and shit.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on. Sorry, Pill just doesn't understand the macro shit at all, which drives me crazy sometimes. But he's not a grifter. He's not like a secret tanky. I've said this over and over and over again, okay? Sorry, Bill is 100% correct. The statements that he was making earlier for the Vote Blue No Matter Who, he does understand, right? Vote Blue No Matter Who is the is the general election. It's the general election. It's not Vote Blue No Matter Who for the primary. And yeah, I think Sorry, Bill is running into issues here because Pisco is super duplicitous here, where he's playing this really, really snake fuck game where he's trying to be like invoking the Vote Blue No Matter Who thing. They did this during the primary. For supporting Plattner, and it's like, why? I don't know. It's driving me crazy. Whatever.
The Vote Blue No Matter Who, when Mills was still a viable candidate.
Yes.
And I'm sorry, there are so many people right now that should eat their own fucking words and shit for like telling us like, no, you were wrong to criticize him then. That's fucking bullshit.
Well, and
then
I feel like I was sitting there, I'm like, well, he won. Weren't you on the panel defending Plattner? It's the same calculation for some people.
Yeah.
I'll just be honest with myself. I thought he was the best position candidate during the primary, pre-general, to beat Susan Collins. And that vision, I think, has crumbled and is not true. But at the time, I genuinely believed that. I mean,
I said if Plattner wins the primary, we should go for him. But I'm sorry, this was one of those things where, from as soon as any of this dropped, I was one of the people that was like, this is not a person with good judgment. I mean, and don't get me wrong. Guy was someone who was able to pull me on that. What was the AG in Virginia who was saying MAGA kids should die or whatever. I'm like, well, what is the other option? Right. And that's where I still am. I'm like, hey, look, if this ruins his viability and he has no chance, okay, it doesn't really matter. But if he still has a chance, I'm still endorsing. I don't give a fuck. I don't want Susan Collins to win. So,
but if you think, as I did, by the way, in the context of Joe Biden, I'm not comparing the Joe Biden dropout in any other respect other than in the following respect. It's a comparison. The comparison is only if you think there's an opportunity for Joe Biden to step down in the context of 2024 and have a candidate who has a better chance of winning. We're dealing in percentages and percentage chance. Then that is preferable. If we can convince Plattner at this point to drop out, given the everything falling out from under him, there is an opportunity right now to do the smart tactical choice.
Yes.
That's in line with my harm reduction views. That's what I want to do. And that's why I'm calling on him to step down.
Yeah.
But we are in a fight for our country right now. And anyone who thinks that we have this luxury, I just think you're not seeing the plot. And that's, I think, what you need to take into consideration first and foremost is stop.
Not seeing the plot? Bro, these guys were fucking all in on Plattner way before the primary was done. Way before the primary was done. These guys were all in on Plattner.
Been this lawless alleged president.
Well, I just want to say, I think two things can be true, that Plattner can be a disaster, but also Mills ran a bad campaign. As much as I wanted her, and on paper, she sounded great. Again, I joke, at 78 years old, starting a new career, whatever. But she ran a bad campaign, and so maybe this gives an opportunity to some younger, more exciting person to pick up the pieces. And
you know what? Here's a macro play, too. When we keep doing this, they ran a bad campaign, they ran a bad campaign, okay? Like, imagine you're trying to win an office, and maybe she's too old, whatever, probably. Everybody's too old, right? Imagine you're running for office. And in order to get to the position where you can run, you have to have had like a lifelong, you know, time in public service and all this other stuff where you're going to acquire some battle scars. You're going to acquire some baggage or whatever. Just it happens as a result of living that long and doing that much public service where everybody's going at you all the time. Right. You bring in these new untested people who have never been in public office before, whose lives have been complete mysteries, who are like, yeah, every single thing you guys are doing sucks fucking shit. And we're going to do everything way better because we know way more than you, even though we've got no history in governance and you guys are retarded and everything. Like, maybe it's really not just that Plattner was like a one-off, super ultra unique, crazy situation. Maybe it is the idea that, yeah, as an outsider who's never won an office before, maybe it is really easy to be infinitely critical of the people that are actually in office trying to govern. And you've got a bunch of pie in the sky ideas that you have no idea how you would even bring into effect if you were to actually win office. Maybe that is like part of that. Like it's a bigger part of the story than people want to admit. Maybe.
Hit the ground running. I mean, they still have time. I don't think it's the end of the world.
Real quick, so Wick, yeah. Wick is DMing me and asking you specifically, was the Wick class correct in their call?
With respect to what?
With their skepticism. With respect to
what? Now Pisco is going to keep saying that, like, no, people weren't correct before, but now the allegations have changed. But the problem before wasn't the allegations per se. It was that there were so many allegations, or not allegations, that there were so many issues that were popping up that just made him seem kind of unreliable. That was the issue. Not that there was going to be one particular one that would be too much, but that, like, damn, he's already got all this baggage and he's not even through the primaries yet. Like, oh, I don't know, maybe this is, like, too risky and you guys are just a little bit too, I don't know, starry-eyed, rose-tinted glasses for your guy. He's about to do that.
Skepticism, yes, of course they were correct. And I always said so. And I was skeptical of Plattner as well. So that we share. I was always skeptical of Plattner. They were right to be skeptical of Plattner. That doesn't change. What they're trying to bake in is with skepticism that it was the wrong call to endorse
See,
at X time. I don't
know. He's going to say, well, these allegations are new.
I don't remember Pisco like steadfastly, like, what's the word?
I never said the allegations are false.
For Plattner.
Yeah, and even when it came to endorsing the primary, the reason I endorsed the primary is because the writing was on the wall in Mills' campaign. Mills was losing. She was down 30, 40 points. And not only that, when you saw the polling that exists then, now
I feel like I could be wrong, but didn't Pisco, was this the first like candidate that like Pisco had ever like endorsed on Twitter? Am I making that up? Where he like tweeted out like, I'm formally endorsing Plattner or whatever. Like it was some huge fucking moment in his life or whatever. He always does that? Is that a thing that he's always done? Okay, maybe that wasn't unique to him.
It's different, of course. Now it's different. As we got closer to the primary, in that context, the matchups were not good for Mills, and Plattner was favored. And so all of that, to me, indicate, and the better contrast, intuitively, I thought the contrast between a younger candidate, a younger male candidate, and Collins would be beneficial to Plattner. So all of that was running through my head in terms of what is the best electorally optimal outcome. And I will not apologize for that calculation in the moment. I think that they were right to be skeptical about Plattner. I was skeptical about Plattner, and there were tons of red flags. They're not wrong about that.
Yeah, I think Pisco and I both said, look, the guy's lying, but we accept it, compartmentalize it. And I figured he's lying for whatever, you know, to save his marriage. He's embarrassed, whatever. Doesn't mean he's going to be a bad lawmaker and lie about stuff to the American people. Maybe, but I don't know. The people of Maine are the ones who decide. They chose him overwhelmingly. The most people since 1918, ever since Maine started counting by popular vote for Senate statewide, came out and voted for this guy as the Democratic candidate. He had independents voting in the Democratic primary 3-1. So the people of Maine wanted him. And so what can we do as people who don't live in Maine, but support their choice and wish him the best? So I don't think anyone's kicking themselves over supporting this guy. And now's not the time to be like, I told you so, and laughing at people. Now's the time to pick up the pieces and figure out where we go from here. But,
What are the viable options? I mean, like, let's say this obviously tanks his polling, right? Like, you know, most people seem to drop supported this guy.
By the way, it is never the right time ever. I'm banning everybody in chat who disagrees. It's never the right time to criticize people who are further left than us. It's always the wrong time. You can't do it in the primaries because the establishment can't do it after all the writing was on the wall and they pretended not to see it. And then everything else, okay? Don't ever. It's never, ever, 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 ever the right time ever to criticize the further left of us, ever. Everybody should know that. It's never the right time, okay? Never, ever. Never, never, ever, ever, ever. Never, ever.
Are we going to get Obama to move to Maine and like, you know, run? Like, are we going to just say, fuck it, it's lost? Like, what's the actual viable option?
Again, there have been pollsters that were commissioned to run, like, Collins versus 8 other Democratic politicians that are known in the state of Maine. There was one name that I saw that was polling 2 points ahead of Collins. So, like, it's not ideal in any sense. The fact that this came down to the 11th hour, you know, similarly bad situation as to what happened with Biden, it's obviously not ideal, but, you know.
Well, it comes to nominate Flo Balogun.
What happens at this point? Does he anoint someone? I think the party picks someone is what I remember reading. If he drops out, then I'm pretty sure the Democratic Party in Maine picks who the nominee is going to be.
Yeah, the party will pick a replacement. But I see all these people saying it's over. Susan Collins is going to win. Nothing has changed here about why people are voting. Like, the underlying reason to go out and vote in November is the economy, Trump hiding the...
I mean, it's not over. That is true. I mean, obviously, you don't want to give up or anything. But, like, it looks bad. Like, you're about to switch out your... This was, like, your hot shit fucking candidate that was, like, the new kid on the block and had the most votes ever and was, like, the guy. I'm not saying it's going to, like, fucking sink all of our other races or anything like that. It does look kind of bad. It looks a little bit bad, I think.
It's not good.
It's not good. It's not good.
This was Pisco's guy, right?
I mean, that's what I thought, but now he's saying...
Nah, this was his man. Okay. Can we agree that the lefties don't know how to pick a candidate? Can we let the center Dems do it this time?
What about the DSA New York? You fucking idiot.
You're so fucking right. Idiot. You're so smart.
You're such a fucking idiot.
What about Mom Donnie?
Exactly.
Relevant tweet. Hold on, clicking.
I'm just not
Pisco says, 95% of your vote for any given senator should be determined like you were selecting a button-pressing machine. 5% for everything else. Keep the eye on the office that matters in current era, the presidency. Not a hard choice. The Plattner hand wringing is silly.
There it is. Yep.
That's his man.
Easy.
That's his guy.
I told you. I knew it. So, yeah, of course. Like, this is all of them. And he's going to pretend that, like, oh, no. No, but they, dude. And that was on, what was the date on that? May 2nd.
Just a reminder, I said we should vote for Plattner.
Oh, May, that's 2 months ago. That's not even 1 month. That was 2 months ago.
But this was his boy.
Yeah.
Epstein files, the war in Iran. None of that changes because the Democratic candidate is changing or there was some chaos on our end. I don't think people give a shit who the Democrat is right now. They're voting for anybody with a D next to their name.
Yeah, but guy, you gotta understand, like, sure, politically informed people are just gonna say vote blue no matter who, even if they replace him with a completely unknown. But if people don't know who the replacement is, which is very likely, and actually this happened to me. Touch on that idea. Like, we had Gonzalez on last week, and I did some phone banking. A lot of people just didn't know who she was. I mean, Hickenlooper just has so much, you know, history there. If they don't know who they are, and, you know, she ran, like, a very short campaign comparatively, I think, to other people, and they're just not going to know.
The margin
got
real close to the end there. It was, like, 4, right, after the ballots came in.
But hold on. You're saying that name recognition was everything, but that was not D versus R. That was 2 Democrats.
The same people, by the way, the same country that complained somehow Palpatine returned was bad writing, are complaining somehow the guy with the Nazi tattoo who cheated on his wife was a bad dude.
True.
Unreal,
yeah.
Dude.
So
whatever.
I'm just saying, like, when it comes down to it, people are voting on the economy. They're voting on Trump. This is a referendum on Trump, not on the Democrats or who the Democrats put up. I don't think anybody gives a shit who the Democrats put up, which there seems to be a lot of evidence to support that. So that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think this changes much. Yes, it's drama. Yes, it's chaos. But our voters going to go, I can't vote for the Democrats.
What did
There's
he
too
do?
Much chaos over there. This guy dropped out. He did weird shit. Are they going to go, I got to vote for the person who's going to make life more affordable for me?
I mean, look at what happened when Kamala took over, right? So, like, they broke. It was 2 straight days of breaking fundraising records. And so hopefully the party makes a good decision. And I'd, like, really hope they don't pick Mills. I think that would be a disaster. But, you know, if they pick a younger face, then that person might be met with, like, a deluge of donations. So, yeah, I would not say that this race is, like, unwinnable now at this point. A generic Democrat versus Collins right now, I still like those odds in the current climate. So I think Guy's right about that. I don't know if you're right about, like, they don't care who runs. I think a lot of people definitely care.
Well, yeah, they care enough to not want to support this guy. But maybe we should do that thing they're doing where they just, like, throw in guys with, like, random, you know, it's Barack Obama, you know, the second or whatever. We got to name a guy generic Democrat and have him run.
John Democrat, where is he?
To your point before, Pisco, like, I don't know who said it. Was it Pisco or IRI that said now's the time to just, like, move on? I don't agree with you. Like, if you're just one of these people that genuinely liked his message and you weren't like shit talking people, that's one thing. That's fine. Okay, but there are a lot of prominent voices that should be very much held to account over the next week. Pull up receipts, including the Pod Boys. Pull up receipts. Don't let them forget that they fucking gaslit people.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I'm gonna
what? I'm not making
Not or what, Hutch, for what? You can't do that. You can't do the Plattner Boys anymore. It's canceled. But for what? So who needs to? Who are the class of people? So, for example, I'll just be upfront. I endorsed Plattner before the primary was over.
Uh-oh.
I'm not needs to apologize. No. I'm just asking. Who are the people? Who
also, why isn't that, like, cringe or what? I don't know why. Like, to make the, like, a tweet and everything.
Want your best candidate?
Yeah, I don't know. That was just weird. Like, it was obviously a huge virtue signal, but whatever.
Let me just give you a little bit of a paint. No, no, no.
Name names.
For what? The question is for what? What is the thing that is wrong with
us? For gaslighting us. Regarding what? The fuck out of us. They told us that you know, these things were like not that big of a deal.
The establishment is going after him. It's not. It's not nearly so serious.
Yeah.
Those people. The establishment people always. There's a standing cringe and standing criticism that establishment shit, and here I'm looking at the Cenk Uygurs of the world. Yes, what? The Hasan Pikers of the world. Those people always, like, yeah, for sure, 100%.
I mean, to Hasan's credit, though, he like tepidly endorsed Plattner. Like, to my knowledge, I don't think he was ever like fully in the tank. But the problem, like, the amount of people in this
space
that ran the most insane defense for this guy and fucking gaslit the rest of us. They should take a hit in their credibility, in my opinion. They should.
Did you apologize for endorsing Joe Biden?
No.
Oh my God.
I agree.
That's not the same thing. No. Let me get to it.
My God. Hutch is about to die. Oh, Pisco's on that rage bait life. And this is why I'll never hate Pisco. Because I know my boy Pisco is not as fucking retarded as the words that come out of his mouth. So he's got to be trolling. I know he's trolling and rage baiting. And I respect the hustle. I respect this hustle right now. Because I know Pisco's not this fucking retarded. He can't be. Unless he got kicked in the head by a fucking horse recently. There's no way that this is... It's not possible.
Let me get to it, please.
But real quick, the equivalent would be, Hutch, did you defend the dementia stuff? Where you're like, no, his brain's fine.
I know that.
Yes, no, let me get to it. Let me get to it, please.
Okay.
I would, of course, never say that Hutch threw under the, like, lied about cognitive decline about Joe Biden. I've never made that claim. Obviously, individuals, to the extent that they're saying things that are totally unjustifiable, who are smearing people without any good evidence. I saw Cenk Uygur, I just responded to this, go after McMorrow, said that she dropped out because of APAC. All this shit is fucking disgusting. All right, so that there's that class of thing. The people who are in that brain rot scenario who said those brain rot things. Here's what I don't abide, right? The people who, after Joe Biden dropped, for example, saying, like, we're vindicated. We are vindicated because all you people, we stood out and did not endorse Joe Biden. And you guys did. Now you guys fucked up and you guys suck. Now,
what?
Here's the difference, right? Someone like Ezra Klein, who did endorse Joe Biden, but who called out all the bad stuff all along the way, I think all made the right calculus, right? Because that is someone who is being honest, being more upfront about, like, the problems that Joe Biden was facing. Notwithstanding that, it was the correct decision. And it's the only way in which I'm comparing it. I'm not comparing it in any other respect. I'm not saying that Joe Biden is like a rapist, all right? The way in which I'm comparing it is the moral conclusion on the endorsement, especially in the context of the general. To me, that's not a close call. And there is zero vindication for people who, in my view, like, were about to stand out of the general election or to say, you know, maybe Collins gets voted in. That, I think.
Who is, I mean, like, if people were doing that, that's retarded. We agree. But again, he's doing this trick. He's talking so far ahead. He's talking so far ahead of the general. He's talking way far ahead to the general. This guy endorsed him 2 months ago, bro.
Unjustifiable.
Damn. Well, I want to push Hutch a little bit and say, what do we have time to hold these people accountable right now? Is now the time? Like, these people are dumbass dipshits, and it's just another you know, mark on the board of dumbass, did another dumb thing, right? Like,
there's always time. There's always time to hold people accountable.
But, like, what's going to come out of that? Like, the Kyle Kalinskis of the world are just going to be like, APAC did this, or, you know, the establishment is the reason why we're here. Like, these people are brain-broken, man.
Number one, it's good content. Number two, it's generally good to, like, hold people accountable for running insane defense for people. Like,
that was so transparent. What, number one, I want to milk this for money? Is that really, like, that's the guy's whole point. Is, like, is that really what you should be doing?
What are we all doing? Like, I'm sorry, am I the only one that's in this racket? I mean,
if I wanted to just make money, I'd be a right-wing grifter. We still have principles, right? Like, what are we spending our time? We have a zero sum amount of time every day.
I said there was a number two, and the number two is, it's like, it's always good to hold people accountable who ran fucking insane defense for this guy.
Yeah,
I don't know. We should not let these people get off the hook, man. They went so hard. It would be one thing if they were, like, kind of lightly, but they went so fucking hard against anyone who voiced concerns about this guy.
Yep,
they were smearing the people that were voicing their concerns
about
this guy.
Yep.
They relentlessly gaslit us, and they did it to, like, the 10th degree. If you go back and watch Kalinske's videos talking about this, bro, he goes
so hard. Oh my God,
dude.
Kalinske?
You mean on the original New York Times?
Every step of the way, he totally dismissed any concerns about this guy as being, like, a part of, like, centrist sneers from the establishment.
Yeah.
Okay, but Hutch, like, let me give you an example. If someone comes up to you, Hutch, say this man's name, I don't know, let's put it out there, Wick TV, who, by the way, tomorrow, Wick TV, Democrats versus Republican debate that's happening, I'm going to be on there with Dev. So, Hutch, Wick comes up to you and says, you know what, Hutch, I don't trust Plattner. He's not good for us. It's not okay for this to occur. And then he's like, and you know what, I'm not going to endorse Plattner for the general. I'm just going to sit it out.
Nobody's going to catch this. Fuck! The soy pill caught it, like, unintentionally without realizing that, like, Pisco's playing such a fucking sneak fuck game here. Nobody's going to catch this. Pisco keeps talking about the general. I don't think even I know that Hutch donated $50 to him. Every single person that I know of, I'm sure maybe there are some fucking wackos that were like, oh, I'm not even going to support him in the general.
I think Wick was saying he wouldn't support him in the general. I'm like 90% sure I was on the panel.
Okay, that's wild in my opinion. But I think most people, especially on this show, with soy pill, obviously, and everybody else, Hutch and IRI definitely would have supported him in the general. So, but Pisco keeps talking passes, like, oh, who's winning the general? You endorsed this motherfucker 2 months ago!
to criticize that, wouldn't you?
I'm not talking about
I'm asking you the question directly. I'm asking you to answer it, Hutch. So in that situation, it would be correct to criticize someone who's holding on endorsement in that context, correct?
In my opinion, yes, but you know my position. I'm like maximum blue no matter who.
But that's why I'm just trying to clarify for the audience. We all agree with that fundamentals. And the people who you are saying are smearing, who are being incredibly overly harsh in ways that aren't justified, I'm 100% with you.
Okay.
To Hutch's defense that this is content, I don't have a problem with that at all. The whole point of what we do here is to make politics more accessible, and that includes highlighting drama and beefs and stuff. So I genuinely have no problem with that. And I look forward to your week-long victory lap of gloating.
This is not great. This is not great for the Democratic Party. It's not great for our prospects in Maine. There was just such a better way to handle this. But my main issue, as it's always been, has been like at every step of the way, there were people like, and it's somebody in chat asked me to name names. It would be easier for me to name the names of people who didn't do this. Like, it was so prevalent in the space. Like these like very vociferous kind of defenses of this guy.
True.
That it would just be easier for me to list who didn't do it. I mean, it's like almost all of them were just fully in the tank for this guy and accusing everybody of, you know, being like shills that are just like, they just hate progressives and they don't want to see a progressive win.
Well, I mean, I also don't want it to get lost that people like you and I, who may not have been supportive of Plattner, came around once he won the primary and said, okay, we led by example. This is how we're going to support the Democratic candidate and respect the nominee.
What was the day the other person announced that they were suspending their campaign or whatever?
They'll learn their lesson, but I don't want that to get lost because we just pound on them for, you defended this idiot, you defended this idiot. I'd rather the story be, hey, remember when we backed him up because he won the nomination, even though we were suspicious and concerned?
No, I respect that a lot, and I think that's all fine, well, and good. And in the primary, that's all fine, well, and good. I'm just saying, in the debate that Soypill, I forget what panel it was specifically. I think it was a specific Plattner panel. I'd rather be on the Soypill part of that debate than on the Wick side of that debate. I think that Soypill was right in that debate.
Oh, my God.
Overwhelmed. And so that's all I'm trying to say is that, yeah, 100% makes sense from a strategic, from a harm reduction perspective. Now, the call on Plattner to resign, 100%. And nothing changes before. We are still faced with that threat, and it's time for us as a party to find someone who can beat Susan Collins. And that's the spirit, I think, in which IRI is saying, let's move on and get to it, because we want to win.
I would like to ask Pisco and Soypill, because you guys are in some more left circles, not accusing you of anything, just saying, Hutch and I can't seem to stand these people, but you guys are interacting with them. Do they feel like this hurts their chances of further left and more progressive candidates winning now? You said, Pisco, that they're kind of disillusioned, but do you think that they see this as, holy shit, our movement is screwed?
No, I don't think so. And I don't think it should, like, just like Swalwell's brand of politics shouldn't be corrupted because of his allegations or a particular, these kinds of allegations, to the extent that there's a disconnect and it's disjointed from ideologies, approaches, that kind of stuff, I don't think should in any way change the what we should do as a party or as a country in that respect, other than, I guess, the meta conversation about how we have conversations and to Hutch's point about the broader discourse and his critiques there, which is totally fine. What I'm seeing from people, again, just that I follow, is just people who are anguished.
Well, people are saying that she ended her campaign at the end of April. If that's so, then Pisco's endorsement tweet is not as bad. No.
A lot of people who are anguished. Some people who I think are being like maybe a little bit, I don't know, a little bit, they are being more outraged or whatever and perhaps hiding how vigorously they were against people who were against Plattner back in the day. But in general, what I'm seeing is a lot of people who are disappointed. That's what I'm seeing.
So is there no blaming of AIPAC?
I'm not seeing that.
Okay. Just curious.
Yeah.
Jake, sorry. I'm wrong. I did see that. So I saw Jake post something like, this kind of inquiry would never happen of a Susan Collins type. And so actually, I'm going to take that back. There are people who are, I think, including Cenk Uygur, who's one of the biggest left-wing commentators, who are continuing to say that, like, I don't know, AIPAC is somehow behind the double standard or something.
Cenk is like the last warrior standing. Like, basically, every left-wing account that popped up on my feed tonight was, you know, who had previously been supporting him were saying, okay, this is the final straw. But Cenk is...
Oh, Jesus.
Buddy, I just wanted to jump... Hey, everybody, I just wanted to jump on here to address the serious, credible allegations against Graham Plattner. This story is devastating. I believe the victim here. I think that Graham should drop out of the race. He has betrayed many, many supporters by not being forthright about this. I would include myself in that. I believed his campaign when they said that there was nothing new coming out, and it looks like an awful, awful accusation, an incredible one, has come out. Now, this movement has never been about one individual. Any candidate that takes up the mantle here should share Graham's belief or the campaign's belief in ending complicity in the genocide in Gaza, Medicare for all, taxing billionaires, and more. But obviously, this is a devastating development, and we'll be talking about it more on the Georgia Report tomorrow. Hey, everybody, I just want to jump on here to address the serious...
Somebody said he was. Want to debate endorsing Plattner? This was May 27th. In the general, the official primary vote essentially formality, Plattner's won. Did you support Mills before she dropped out, or were you always supporting Plattner? I endorsed Plattner for the primary as well, pre-dropout. Could debate that too. Well, okay, from YouTube, thank you for the $100. Even when Pisco was in the right, he was insufferable. Pisco can never admit defeat and will semantically twist a conversation to a mutated, unrecognizable bastard's version of the actual topic.
Is this still the one right here?
Still in the trenches. He's done like 10 tweets about this.
You know what's an enormous scandal in the Maine Senate race, guys? Susan Collins has taken $1.8 million from Israeli lobby to betray Americans and serve another country. But legacy media covers that kind of treachery and corruption, so they don't even cover it. Or they love that kind of treachery, excuse me. Yeah, it's despicable. Yeah, like I guess this is like deflection to AIPAC.
Yep, well, got to get Israel in there somehow, I guess.
The reason IRI that I don't think that like the people that you're talking about are going to feel deflated is because they had a really good night a week ago in, was it Colorado?
Yeah, Colorado, yeah. Malak Heroes won. New York, obviously, a week before. Like, so they're, you know, this is an L.
You know what the real question is? Because Plattner must have seen that woman's name in the first New York Times story. Did he just expect that nothing would come out or that she wouldn't do anything else? I wonder if he tried to reach out and communicate with her at all, or...
But it's not like every single candidate was like, you know, losing. And this is our last hope, guys, our last DSA. I don't think this is going to deflate them nearly so much as like it won't matter to them in 2 or 3 months. But, you know, and by the way, when I say like, Hutch, you're turning this into content, I don't think you shouldn't talk about this. I just mean like how much time should you dedicate and are you putting an inordinate amount of time? But absolutely, in the future, you should be able to hold this to them and be like, hey, remember when you fucking said like I was stupid for saying Plattner was a bad choice? Yeah, hold that shit over their heads. Like,
yep.
I will be petty and vindictive about this.
You should be.
I will do it.
Yeah, obviously, wow. By the way, I would grant that in retrospect, he was obviously the wrong choice in retrospect.
Oh,
right?
My God.
At the moment,
there's no way we could have known.
And you would be irrational to, yeah. I think, not consider updates, yeah. on our priors as time went on. And let me give you the other alternative. Let's say that this story never comes out, and it really was the case that the only information we had regarding Plattner was what was available, you know, before this dropped. In that case, I think you would look sideways at someone who chose to sit it out, who was relevant to endorse. And so, yeah, I think that all is that there's different layers to this, and different kinds of things can be criticized differently, like an endorsement in the primary, an endorsement in the general, deflections, obvious bad faith arguments, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, man, I just think this is, we haven't seen this a lot, right? Like Biden dropping out and now this, if he drops out, which sounds like he will. So it's kind of unusual, but I feel like, you know, this is to be expected in today's crazy, fast moving political environment. We should get used to more stuff like this happening. It shouldn't, like, I guess I'm just not shocked at any of this. I'm like, you know, whatever, man, just, this is the ride, you know, we just roll with it. Thank God it happened now and not in 2 weeks when the deadline passed and they can't get a new person in there, you know? So thank you, lady, for coming forward with your fucked up story. I'm sorry that happened to you, but at least the time.
Well, obviously the establishment told her to come forward in time for them to get a replacement guy, don't you know?
True. Well, here's the thing. Plattner denies this. Does nobody believe him?
I don't believe
him. I'm just curious.
I do think that he is a liar. And okay. I just think that that's been true to me. I think he lied about the Nazi tattoo, about when he got the Nazi tattoo. Hmm. I think he lied about... the fact now clearly that there wasn't anything else dropping, right? Like leadership about that was all reported. So the guy's a liar. I don't believe him.
I do want to say one last thing on this, and that is, do not ever let a fuck ass Trump supporter tell you that you supported a rapist, because they're all Trump voters and they have no ground to stand on. I'm sorry.
Well, duh.
Yeah, I mean, Plattner was always tough. We've got some rock stars like Tallarico, Patola, Josh Turek, the Paralympian in Iowa. I mean, you name it. We've got some awesome candidates, and it was always kind of a bummer this guy was dragging them down. So I try to see the silver lining in all of it, and maybe we'll get some rock star on the other end of this that takes off like a rocket ship.
Yeah, ideally, this should be, I think, a learning experience in a different kind of way. I'm just going to be fully condescending tonight. I don't give a fuck. But apropos of nothing, the entire Dune series from Frank Herbert is about avoiding the pitfalls of putting way too much faith and stock in charismatic leaders. And I hope that people can draw a lesson from this moment to not get too personally attached to someone because of ideology.
Wait,
I'm
actually you. Did the golden path not ultimately end up being the utilitarian best option for the universe, despite the 61 billion jihad genocide?
First of all, spoiler alert. But second of all, there's a lot of rope. It's meant to be ambiguous. You know, it's kind of confusing, to be honest with you. There's not really any clear moral lessons. But at least with the first book and especially the second book, it was for sure his intention to stress the idea of like not putting too much faith in charismatic leaders. Like, don't think that you should get super attached to politicians just because they speak your language, because that gives such a wide open lane to con men and grifters. And I've felt for a long time at this point that Plattner is just like an obvious con man. So,
I never saw people inspired by Plattner, like his life story
There were a lot. Really? They got really personally attached to him, for sure.
Okay.
The first time I heard of Plattner was Hutch saying, look how charismatic this guy is. Like, he's a good speaker. He's like a man of the people. He's got the gravelly voice. Like, you know, it's gravelly voice.
I didn't see anybody comparing him to like Obama, like Tallarico or anything like that. Now, I'm not saying you're wrong, Hutch. I'm just saying I didn't really get that. What I got was the movement, the anti-establishment, and that's what people were getting behind. So I don't think it even mattered, the person. So they could just swap him out with someone else who's anti-establishment and be just as happy. So
yeah, who were the people that pushed for Plattner to run again?
More attached to the character.
They kept going to him over and over again and begging him to join the race. Who was that? Does anybody remember?
I did. They were. He was honestly, in terms of the Senate races, people were more fired up about.
Here we go again.
It's the DSA, by the way.
For their liking. So I say all of this to say it is getting weird, and online leftists like Kyle Kalinske continue to show why they are more MAGA adjacent than anybody.
Well, that was probably one of the most embarrassing videos I've ever seen in my life. So now, if you are willing to do anything and everything to defeat MAGA, you are MAGA. That's how that works. So by being the most against MAGA, you are now MAGA. Is that the argument? Let me understand that correctly. So the only way to defeat MAGA is to, when they go low, we go high, and lay in a chalk outline of ourselves. And every single dumbass smear story they come up with, you immediately have to cave to the bad faith attempt to destroy this man and give them exactly what they want. So in order to defeat MAGA, you need to give MAGA exactly what the fuck they want. Let me be clear, because perhaps I was unclear in my tweet saying he could sex my mom and I still support him. Graham Plattner can fuck a toaster. Graham Plattner can shove a pineapple up his ass. Graham Plattner can shove a pineapple up his dick hole for all I care. Graham Plattner can jack off to a cartoon of Scooby-Doo wearing Brian Noam's big ass titties, and I will crawl over fucking broken glass to support that man. Why? Because he actually wants to end the wars. Because he actually wants to stand up to the
Israeli genocidal terror state currently doing multiple genocides because he actually wants to crack down on the Epstein class
multiple
and arrest the criminals and raise taxes
now?
On billionaires and take that money, redistribute it, give people healthcare, give people education, give people higher wages, give people unions, actually fucking fix this country, end the crime spree of MAGA, and arrest the criminal terrorists inside the Trump regime. If you're willing to do those things, I don't give a fuck what happens in your sex life, bro. Let me say, I do not care at all. And anybody who does, I find you rather unserious. I find you unfit for this moment that we're living in, where fascism is actually taking over the country. It's actually happening. And instead of going after the fascists, you're going after the anti-fascists because of reasons and stuff and things. Well, forgive me, but I find that wholly unconvincing. And by the way, Graham Platner, go ahead and sex my mom. I don't give a fuck. You want to sex my sister? Go right ahead. You can sex her too. Genuinely don't care. Hey, y'all, do me a favor and like and subscribe. It helps out big time in the algorithm. Click the bell as well for notifications when videos drop. And
at this point, you had.
Do you think he still let him sex his mom and sister?
Maybe.
Graham Platner, you hadn't done a full scrub of who he is. How did you go about vetting him? And why did you?
We paid a nice firm a whole chunk of money and got some stuff back. Some of what you've seen on the news we got back, other stuff we didn't.
Did the vetting process turn up the tattoo that became so controversial?
No.
The Reddit posts, did that turn up in the vetting process?
The firm sent us a thing, and it had some of the posts, but it didn't have all of them.
And what did you think about that? How did you think your way through the fact that he had posted these things on social media?
I said none of this will or should stop him from becoming a U.S. senator.
And what was your thinking there?
I think if what the voters wanted were people who were grown in vats and had never done or said anything that they might regret their entire lives, we'd have a very different country. Part of our thesis here is that people do not want their candidates grown in vats. They want people who are real human beings, and they want people who do not sound like the vat-grown people who've been leading this country off a cliff for the last century. And that was Graham.
Just days after this interview, more details about Platner's past emerged.
Ooh, well, they didn't even know how bad it was going to be over here, huh? This video is turning me into a burn-it-all-down populist ready to toss out the arrogant political elites. By the way, these are Ivy League ex-Bernie staffers who recruited Graham Platner.
In those spaces, kind of the anti-establishment left, we're probably more fired up about him than any of the other candidates.
But, like, people are saying Hassan, like, tepidly endorsed him if he even did. He maybe tacitly even, with not even talking about it. I just didn't really see the enthusiasm from those circles about him.
Oh, bro.
Did I miss it?
Yeah.
Maybe I missed it.
There was some pretty big enthusiasm, yeah.
Definitely.
Well, speaking of APAC meddling, guys, McMorrow dropped out. And according to Chang Yuga, this is an APAC directive to make sure that Stevens can beat El-Sayed. So what do we think about that?
Can I just talk about that real quick? Because I did tweet at him, and it really is an unfalsifiable dogma, right? Because there are so many, like, problems with this story.
Really?
Is, if you think that she got in the race to scuttle El-Sayed, well, that's not true because she started the campaign first, right? Okay, well, if you think that she was trying to, like, start out as a progressive and try to be in the progressive lane initially to crowd out any other progressive that, you know, was going to come in, then why, like, what is this plan, right? So it's to actually introduce another candidate to siphon away votes from the pro-Palestinian vote and then both of them lose? Like, it makes no sense, and there's no evidentiary basis to think that he would ever be convinced away from this position.
Somebody said Kalinske deleted all of his Platner tweets. Is that true?
Like, what would it take for him to be convinced that this wasn't what caused her to drop out? She dropped out because she was failing in the polls. I'm sure that if you asked her, she wanted to genuinely be the senator. And then why put Stevens in, right? If you're
Important to remember that Hassan Piker was working on Platner's campaign with Morris Katz and Fight Agency. He certainly knew about this before it broke. Hassan Piker discusses Morris Katz and Fight Agency after the Graham Platner allegations.
I tar Morris Katz and invalidate left-leaning political operatives. I mean, listen, I need you guys to understand something, okay? What? Morris Katz and the Fight Agency are a very good ad agency, but they are an ad agency, okay? They are not a political organization. Morris Katz worked with Micah Lasher, okay? Micah Lasher is a massive supporter of Israel. Morris Katz...
Wait, who's that's not the Micah that works with Adam Mockler, is it?
And the Fight Agency, while I... Like,
who is this? Is this another person or
the ads that they make? Their job is to make ads. They will sometimes work with wonderful
that's Micah Irfan,
okay. candidates and boost them. Okay. And they will sometimes work with candidates that I don't agree with and I oppose. Okay. This is entirely separate from the Democratic Socialists of America. Okay. This is entirely separate from a political movement. They could potentially work with political movements that are aligned. even candidates that I like, even candidates that I work with. Okay? But at the end of the day, it's just an ad agency. And I have made that very clear from the start. Doesn't mean anything. If anything, the person who is a movement builder that will be harmed from this association will be Bernie Sanders.
Wait, what? I don't even know the connection. He might be right. I just don't know.
Remember to hit that like and subscribe, and don't forget the notification bell so that my videos show up right in your feed.